Showtime, star time. Yeah, it's a www.caribbeanradioshow.com. We got it good to go. Dr. F, let them know so the girls them love it nice and mellow. That's the show. Hey, you live the life you love. You love the life you live. Any music you want, Dr. F will give. Ooh-wee. Greetings, Dr. F brings. From Jah to all ragamuffins, ooh, we're rocking and swing. Greetings, Dr. F bring. From Jah, both Jah to all Caribbean lovers, ooh-wee. For all the diamonds and the money and pearls, Dr. F, we keep playing reggae around the world. No matter what the price, where music is nice, all your little string and rub it tonight. Whoa, whoa, greetings, Dr. F bring. From Jah to all ragamuffins, ooh-wee, ooh-wee. Greetings, Dr. F bring. From Jah, both Jah to all ragamuffins. Most definitely, we got it like that. It's www.caribbeanradioshow with Dr. F. Surfing show, the girls still love it so. Keep it nice and mellow. Yeah, this is our friend representing. Pick up yourself, Dr. F. Give it to them, said please.
All right. I want to say big love, and good morning to you. Good afternoon, good night. Oh, wow. Let me tell you something. I guess this is the order of the night for a few nights now. I am cold. I don't know if you are cold, but I am cold. I am really cold. Hey, this is going to be a blast of a show tonight. We're going to be joining France. Yes, France. From France, we're going to be joining the great man, the legend himself, Mr. Bronco Knowledge. Yes, Mr. Bronco Knowledge. And, of course, I always refer to him, and I'm sure he is. He has a great deal of the Trenchtown history, and we're going to get a lot of that on the show, as much as what he's doing, his contribution to this great music, reggae music, of course. I want to say big love to my hero man, Mr. Ruler Brown. Folks, let me tell you, we have started our year with our scholarship program. We got a lot of folks responding. Today I heard on the show quite a few people have started send their funds for their personal scholarship this year. Remember, so far we have done 150 scholarships. We want to get some silence on the other side there. We need to get at least double that number this year. Double that number this year. Please help us double that number. There are kids in Jamaica that continue to need our help. Just a couple of months ago, Rula, the whole gang, we were able to rescue a medical student from underneath the steps of the university campus. Never had anywhere to stay, never had computer, never had a books, but he was sleeping on campus, and he was still able to maintain, I think he had a 3.89 average out of a total of 4.0 average. That's how much some of our children, when they really, really get to doing what they want to do, it doesn't matter what, they're not going to stop. Hunger, homelessness, no books, no nothing is not going to stop them. We had another young man maybe about 3 weeks ago who he walked 4 miles to school every day. It's 4 miles back and forth. And he didn't have lunch a lot of times. He didn't have a lot of things. He managed to get the highest score on the CXC exam, 12 ones. That is unheard of. And he didn't have food in his stomach a majority of the time. He didn't have all of those luxuries. So you see how kids in our nation, we can do things only if we get some help. www.palas1.org, $1, $2, $3, you know, a whole scholarship. Every little bit counts. Every single bit counts. In Jamaica, they don't have the yellow free bus that picks kids up. They don't have books in school that they get for free. They don't have lunch that they get for free. They don't have uniform that they get for free. Poor parents have to get all of these things in order for their kids to go to school. They don't have computer and all of those wonderful things that help kids to accelerate. So we're asking everyone, please, www.palas1.org. We can help our country. We can help build a nation. We can help our citizens be competitive in this global world. All right? You know, we have to help each other, and I'm sure you don't mind. Anyway, we got a lineup of a show for you. We're going to go from Trenchtown to London to France, because Bronco Knowledge definitely circled the globe already. So we're going to be hearing his story in a little bit, and we're going to try and make that connection just about now. Good evening, good morning. Well, I know it's early morning, Bronco. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Always a wonderful thing speaking to you. Now, I know you must have some big, big long coffee cup there with you, because it's 2 a.m. where you are. Or you have some other things. What do you have keeping you up this time of the morning?
Okay, that's the good teacher of the most high.
Yes, yes. I understand you were just in the studio doing some rehearsal and all of those things there. Talk to me about it. What are you working on? And I know you've always been working on something.
Yeah, because I'm really working on a lot of different things, because I'm working on new album and things like that. And then I'm working on some rehearsal for a show.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to be the 7th of December.
Wow.
In Montpellier.
Uh-huh.
And then setting up some more show in Marseille, you know?
Wow, wow.
So I was in the studio rehearsing with the musician.
Nicely, man.
It was a good rehearsal, because, again, too. He called out some friends of my name for a long time, because our bridge named Bertie was a good engineer. Like, him film sister, you know, him there Marseille. Him leave Jamaica about 4 days ago, and then there Marseille. She has seen a video like a rehearsal on the internet, and she has said to him, say, the voice has changed, and look, you know the person that we are singing, and he must have the voice ring a bell, and when him look, him see at me, so he just come find me at the rehearsal of me there, rehearsal master.
Oh, wow.
And I'm a great, great engineer, that, you know, Bertie, you know.
So has he gotten a chance to really be a part of what you're doing, or just coming to?
Yeah, he's going to be a part, you know, because, like, telepathically, you know, Ja, I didn't think it's happening more time, because we were thinking of getting in an engineer for deal with the situation where the show is concerned, you know.
Uh-huh.
A good performance. And then him just come and play just like that.
Jeez.
And him are the right engineer when we really need to satisfy my situation, you know. So it's good.
Oh, my God.
So he's going to be the engineer for the show. Because eventually, I'm not leaving France and to go back to Jamaica until the 14th of December. And the show is the 7th of December. So it fell in line the right way, you know?
Lord, I mean, come on, man. That is more than good. That's more than good,
sister, that please.
Boy, the spirit just works in a mighty way sometimes, huh?
But still, you know, you don't know, my respect always goes for a large, you know, surrounding a person, show the world. You know, even though me I talk, sister Dr. Eve, I still want to say big respect to all the people in America, you know what I mean, and big respect to all the associated people who work alongside you towards the Caribbean Radio Show, you know, and one perfect love, to all the children, both men, women, and boys and girls, throughout the world, you know?
Yes, sir, yes.
But yeah, we're going right back not to where we was. Okay, continue.
Yeah, man, yeah, well, we have for sure respect all the time. And, hey, this is how, I know this is how your mother, your grandmother from way back when, boy, manners carry you through the world, the respect.
Yeah, because I'm getting enough conky to made from her for that.
I understand that, man, I understand that. When we talk, you know, I always like talking to you, and so does my audience like listening to you, because we get a history of a music, an era that you so know very well, probably a lot more than a lot of people, when it comes on to the some part of the origin of another era of the music, and that is the Trench Town Dynasty. Tell us a little bit, where were you when a lot of these music were going on, coming out of Trench Town at that time?
In what time? Like in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s, or the 80s? What time specifically?
Well, let's start from the beginning. Let's start from, you know, just give us a timeline to where you're able to, you know, nail down the history for us.
That timeline is so long, but it's still good because time longer than rope, you know.
True. Talking about time longer than rope, you know, as you said that, you automatically remind me this second of the great Lee Scratch Perry, which we had on the the way you said that.
Well, I said it last time, you know, when me and spoke about Lee Scratch Perry, I'm Brown could tell most up in something I'm on. Is he mad? I said to you, sir, I'm not in my biography. He's not really mad at all, you know, but the things that he might talk and or he might put his thing together. Some people would have cancer say, yeah, this is a madman or why, you know. Uh-huh. But, you know, he might be more on meaning and then, you know.
Uh-huh.
He just know what he might relate to the world, to the people and still, you
know. That's true. We had him on.
He can be like that, but still, what's so good and so great is not harmful.
True. We had the opportunity, the grand opportunity of having him on the show about 3 weeks ago, just 3 weeks ago. And
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You know, one of those interviews that I think nobody else on earth has been fortunate to have, three solid hours of chatting with the great man, Mr. Lee Scratch Perry. Anyway, you are Lee Scratch. We honor you. Okay, talk to me, because Lee Scratch Perry, and I guess you will be able to get somewhere along the lines, Lee Scratch Perry would be in your conversation. In the 50s, in Trench Town, give us an overview, the spirit, you know, the vibration going on in Trench Town in the early 50s.
It's in the early 50s still. I was more a child, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I born in between the early 50s, because like I said, I born 1956, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You see, it says, boy, that's still a long time.
Oh, yes.
You see, coming from those late time when I start kind of get to the realization of having sense from, you know, the, like, 60s now, 60, coming 61, you know, sometimes I start to realize, you know, I almost can't still remember things that might come like a dream when I look at it, you know what I mean? But it's just not really a dream, it's just memory lane, you know?
Yes.
I could remember the way or the ghetto or Trench Town, the look, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's in before any building start build up, like, they must have semi-rising building and thing like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And before certain borders start build up and thing like that. And I can come remember them time they're growing up from start, which I was 10 years old. I can still visualize the 12 shilling house them, you know? I can visualize Federal Garden and all them time then, you know. But you know, them time I start come to the real knowledge and having sense as a youth.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I can remember the name of the place and the kind of people that my youth experience growing up come see. Before the name, before the place, them have these names now, you know what I mean? Like, I can remember when Tivoli Garden, where was Tivoli Garden now, just back a while. I can remember, like, Rima, and you see where it was just Trenchtown before it come name, in the Rima. I can remember in Top of Trenchtown themselves used to be Vikings before it become jungle. You know, I can remember them days before. I can remember as next side of Trenchtown it was Saigon before it becomes you know, Ninja Man and all them things. Then original Boys Town, you know. I can still remember all those things, you know, coming in my face. You know. Well, in them time there, you know, things wasn't so rugged like what it used to be when, you know, when we start reach our age like 15, like reaching the 70s now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like because like, for instance, I said to you, know, like, people, even at a lower Trenchtown, and I used to lower Trenchtown, a lower St. Andrew.
Okay.
You know, lower Trenchtown, a lower St. Andrew. I see, even though in those times still, yes, you'd have people who are still dignity, you know, dignify in themselves. Like people just official in themselves. In other words, like for instance, then put it plain to you. Like you have certain part of church where you have lawyers and doctors, you know, barristers, you know, living in place. And yeah, you can, as a little boy growing up, you can to go up on them place, go to them places you have, you feel like how you want to, you know. Mm-hmm. Or if you see a person placing them time there, and some, even if you kick your ball and go over them yard, they can't just jump over them fence and go for your ball if you ask permission. So, you know, to get the okay from them to go for your ball and things like that, you know what I mean?
Wow.
So it's kind of a different groove, you know? And the trench zone, see, that one of the community again, you have all different kind of things. You have animal hospital, you have trench zone clinic, you know? You have Trenchtown Comprehensive School, you have Boys Town School, you know, you have Sheltola Park School on this one. You know, right, come right around the surround, you have, you know, a variety of things used to mesh together, you know. And on the political venture, you know, it's like, yeah, the politics thing never so strong to neither. It's like, for instance, when it comes to political issue, like where the two parties concerned with them are labor rights are them are PMP, them time they got the two party thing. You know, it's like if PMP win, you know, they've seen labor rights and PMP go up the morning and drink a beer and what? Laugh and talk or them are play domino and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that, you know what I mean? And the gun thing and the rival thing like that never used to go on. And I can remember all them time that went time. It's like a fun to me as a youth. If you see when time it come to campaign the election.
Yes.
In, yeah, you see Labour I say about Kiev and them kind of man in a calf man. You know what I mean? And then them have all you see in Tavares, them sometimes say I got early and them trying to make this. I don't have a light burn or them one day, you know, or songs or them one day.
Yes.
You know, for the next thing.
I remember we usually, well, my people were PMP. We usually have a broom and sweep them.
Yeah, yes, all them kind of things. You see the PMP them with them broom and neighborize them with them bell. You see, no, what you say power, what you say freedom.
Freedom.
You know, it's, you know? And then, when I say it was kind of community, in all my house now, the funniest thing, in all my house, my mother liberalized up my father PMP.
That was the same thing. That was the same thing. My mother was PMP. My father was staunch liberalized.
Yes, that was. And then now what happened to me, now me come in between, see me my life go within my mother and father, see me my life come go to go now, pay attention again to, because for instance, in my house, when me I grew up, like for my mother I labor rights, my father PMP, me I got a profile being Rasta.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, that can't work, because what happened now? In time when me, when I'm talking about them liberals, them PMP, me come to us and say, Joe Rastafari, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's like a war me starting in the house, because blows are come to me from all angles, you know? And it's Rastafari, no Inyasa, the blue eye man, though, if you say Inyasa, Jesus Christ, Inyasa, no. No Rasta, no, but no Rasta, Inyasa.
Oh my goodness, I can imagine. You were really in the middle of hell fire.
Like I'm going to hell and back.
Hey, you were lit from both tails, head and tail at the same time. No escape. But I'm listening to you. We had Mr. Derek Harriet last night talking about the history and what it was like in Jamaica at that time. And the same emotion and the same color and the freedom that I hear you, you know, painting the picture of here right now, it is the same thing he was saying as well. Although it was different places, but, you know, you kind of get the same kind of oneness, togetherness, innocence, and maybe we can put it innocence, where a lot of the trappings of interference from outsiders weren't in Jamaica, except we had the Queen and Jesus. You know, I mean, there was no outsider as such interfering with how Jamaica was progressing or, you know, living at that time.
Yeah.
Wow. When we talk about Trenchtown now, boy, I mean, just hearing about Trenchtown, maybe things are changing now, because I hear a lot of things are happening now, redevelopment and trying to get peace here and there. But when we talk about Trenchtown, maybe 15, 20 years ago, my gosh, the word Trenchtown alone brings such violence rather than the kind of a privilege places. You're talking about lawyers, doctors, hospital, an entire community being served there. What change? How could we make a shift so quickly?
From that time to this time?
Yes, or from the time things started to change. Because I think maybe we are kind of doing something right now to really, well, maybe we cannot get back to the 50s in terms of how things were, but at least they're doing some amends between the different areas around there. What happened between the 50s and late 60s, coming up 70s, that changed so much that everybody ran away and we had this concrete jungle, so to speak, of violence?
What happened so much to me, I guess, Sister Eve, it does not just the people alone, you see. I know separation being to a ghetto can cause a whole lot of people to be frustrated and do a lot of things still sometimes, but not really right in the law, you know what I mean? And then you maybe get into trouble with the law under those circumstances. Yeah, but on a variety of broad way of me that look on it. You see, it's just politics is one of the things where it kind of, you know, messed up the whole issue. Other people, you know, coming on. You understand me?
Yeah.
That's a break of kind of a togetherness where the people that have in them time there. Because, like, you see, under them circumstances, they divide and rule the people them. You know, you just bring in things like our guns and some dangerous thing inside, you know, the whole issue. You understand me?
Yes, yes.
And them think they're dangerous because, you see, go and take the life of people, you know what I mean? You know, and those things are serious, serious issues. So, and then kind of start get people scared because if I'm on North, then if I'm going to go over there, so I know I'm going to lose them life. I'm not going to go over there. So while one time when there's no gun and nothing like that, and everybody hire him to go over there, so
mm-hmm.
enjoy himself and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But guns in the hands of so much, in the hands of so much food, you know what I mean? And one not to run no risk with them life, so. And it seems so people are trying to put themselves under more protection. You know what I mean? To all rival and dangerous, even the place that get under them political ideology there, you know? You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Wow.
See, because, like I said, in those issues, because it terms, you know, like it turns upon different terms come right down. Till a large amount of people have run the place for them really born and a group and all them things. Because, like some people can start in the pressure while some people can't. You know what I mean? Some people can run while some people can't run. You understand me? I tell the sister, Dr. Eve.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, you see, just like in like the circumstances make the people what they are. You know?
Mm-mm. But here, this look at, and we have also the Waterhouse dynasty as well, as the Trenchtown dynasty, and I never thought so much about Waterhouse and with the music, but do you think that one of the way that people were so connected was because of the music, and that was like almost a breeding ground for the great music that came out of Jamaica?
Yeah, because it's like the music is one of the things, because good communication with people still, you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, music is a joy, and music is can give you great communication. And music, again, is like food for your heart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it goes a long way different still, it's not that way, because sometimes, well, because some people are killing, because sometimes then people don't even talk to them one another as friends. But what eventually happens, sometimes them talk, them buck up all a dance, you know what I mean? Eventually bump into each other, and then, you know, somewhere gonna pass on, and then, you know what I mean? You get back into being friends again with each other. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You see, music is like that.
You know, one of the things that Derek was saying last night, how music was produced, and I'm sure you can attest to that. Everybody was sitting around a fire, just like how Georgie Bob Marley painted that picture, and everybody right in a strum dem de car and a pot of boil somewhere, and everybody's just in a good vibes. Explain that to me. Is that what was going on in Trenchtown at the time when you were involved in making music?
Well, it's a sense that yes, because really weird, because like I said to you, away from the I just put away the dancing thing, now just go just direct to what you're saying about the music. Yes, it was like that, because like when I first get my guitar, you used to team up with a portion of you like Danny and G, you know what I mean, Duncan First Street Bottom there, so into a yard where you have a big man in the world called Daddy Chump.
Wow.
You know, where my brother, we have a portion of we as you to play football, everything together. You know, with one that you see, but still we have, we look at music sector, I deal with the same way where each of us try to get into the music. And then, as Rasta youth together, you know, sometimes we want to run a little boat, you know.
And tell the audience, because not all of us know what a boat is, I tell the audience what running a boat is.
Well, running a boat, you know, is in other words, like, you know, a team of you as brethren, you know, I'll come together and put money together, you know what I mean, to cook some food.
Okay.
And someone said, watch out, I'm going to run a boat, you know. Much, what we have? One brother said, boy, I want to me have this, you know, me have 50 cents, me want to say, boy, I have a dollar, you know, me want to say, boy, I have $2, you know, want to me have a pound or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know, and put it together and buy the food, and then we start cook the food. The food I cook, you know, the boat, is a pot where they put the fire cook at the boat that we run.
Wow.
You know, the pot where they put the fire. You see? Just like the pot I cook and the food not enough. Sometimes the yacht are yoke, you know, just like above, so the yacht are yoke or the simple pot. But the food not enough. Sometimes the pot really a cook. And the food not enough because there's so many mouths to be fed.
Yes, yes.
Than the little bean the pot where I cook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, she share like Jesus Christ, and she said Jesus Christ like two fish, a loaf of bread and feed a nation. So sometimes go like that, you know, we have to share with each other, you know, in them time there. But the thing when we do that now, still we have a guitar and thing around, we start vibes up on my man, we play a few, you know. No, someone say, yeah, you know, so that music that sound good, and then the next month I come in with something, and they say, we have something going. You know?
Wow.
It's like that. Music vibes are punching like that.
When I listened to those music, that was this community base, this kind of vibration. And I guess once you were in that yard cooking your pot and everybody's trumping and making adjustment here and there to a music, and when you really get it, then you'll go to the studio. Tell us what it was like in those studios. How difficult or how easy was it to record your music in those days?
Well, you see, it wasn't that like easy, as you know, it wasn't that easy to need to record music, you know, because when we just started record feeling all Tapazuki and all them things, it's not like we think so then we don't get the opportunity to record because it's easy to record. No, it's just like something where the idea to be done just come up in, you know what I mean? Mm. Because like I said, we love music and we have some Rastaman dig deep and then in our heights and, you know, want to sing about reality one, spread the message to the world, same like how we say other rest of people are person like we're born and go in a trench zone and even come live in a trench zone and adapt and learn certain about the music and spread the message. They do it in a way, say we're born and go there with it and we have it as an inbound conception. We want to, you know, to establish it to the world the same way. You know what I mean? So we just take it serious. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And just get involved. You know?
Wow.
And then under them circumstances, they, I tell you, it's not like, say, I say, we just think the music is just something like, you know, we just sing just to a joy. And it was something means so much to me. You know? Because sometimes when you start rehearsing and all things, and the way man are sing more time, the way you feel the music, if you know, stand strong, I want to come out of your eye to
wow.
A natural feeling where I get from the music.
Wow. Do you think that, you know, when we look at Jamaica, just going through so-called independence, you know, just loosely speaking, just getting our freedom, finding our footage. Did you think that the music really bond us and kind of help us to take that other major step into self-reliance? Was the music a part of that?
Well, the music, yeah, because I want to put it on 100%, so yeah, the music a part of that, you see, because like, the music bringing a lot of investment in Jamaica.
Yes.
You know, from the music industry, it bringing a lot in Jamaica, and it bringing a lot of recognition, again, to in Jamaica, where the music is concerned, you understand me?
Yes, yes.
And it costs a lot of people from Jamaica to travel the world, go place in the world that never think they would ever be.
Mm.
You know, if it wasn't for the music, they wouldn't reach those places.
Well, yeah. I want you to, I am writing that down because we need to really explore that in more detail because this is so very important. And every time I talk to somebody and do this kind of an interview, I kind of get a different angle to the same thing, but in a different way. We hope to come back and look at how music has helped a lot of Jamaica to cross over the waters, and the revenue music has been one of the stable industry in Jamaica, declined somewhat somehow in general, but still maybe the major stimulus of the economy in Jamaica. Because why I say that, because the music bring tourists to Jamaica, hence the all of those tertiary businesses are affected by it. But we're going to talk a little bit more about that once we come back, and we're going to play one of your big tune, and we're going to come back.
Okay. Yes, it's the doctor.
I want to say a big love to Freddie P. I hear that you were at the rehearsal and it was rising. The big voice of the legendary Mr. Brian Connolly.
Welcome to the computer, Chloe. What is it? May I not hear anything from the computer?
She said when she will come back to you.
When she don't get the plug, I'll plug it in. She switches in, I get the plug. Where's the plug? Where's the plug? I'll plug it in.
Right.
Where's the plug? I'll plug it in. Where is the plug?
Here. On the
And in the ghetto, let me tell you something. When you listen to this music, when you listen to the arrangement, the classical music, this is almost classical music. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you are really into great music, we're talking about music like this. I want to say a big love to Yuri. I hope I say that right. All the way in Israel, listening us tonight. I want to say a big love to you. I want to say a big love to Freddie P. Freddie P. was on the rehearsal yesterday with you guys in France. Big love to you. Always a big supporter. at Caribbean Radio Show. I want to also say big love to Sulet up in London. Not London. I know you want to go to London, Sulet. All the big group up in Canada telling us that we're coming real loud and clear. Thank you so much for joining us. We are with the legend himself, the historian, the man that has the great history of the great grounds that some of the greatest musicians has ever walked, continuing to bring great talent of the place we call Trenchtown. And I've had many, many people on my show, but let me tell you, the authentic history, I rely on this man. The one, Mr. Bronco Knowledge, and his name says that as well. Welcome back, Bronco. Welcome back.
Listen, my sister, listen.
We're just having Freddie P. healing your boy. He got an opportunity to come and listen to some of your vibration yesterday. And he was just saying it was just great vibes.
Yeah, man. One love to Jeff Freddie P., you know.
Yeah, man. Freddie, anywhere you are, big up yourself. Talk to me a little bit. I mean, this is one of the aspect of the music, and I don't know, I've been saying this for a while, sounding like a scratch record, but is the government, when you just said what you said, the transitioning out of Jamaica to the world by the citizens through the music itself transitioning from Jamaica, that little tiny place out into the Caribbean Sea, to every corner of the world, Japan, all the world to Europe, Japan, I mean, just about everywhere you can think, I'm sure reggae music has been played there. And to me, I'm not sure if it is the same to you, Jamaican government has not taken active role in order to procure, I mean, some of what is being owed to Jamaica, to a lot of the artists out there, some of the injustices that is being meting out and still being met out to you. I don't think that the Jamaican government is taking an active role in trying to listen to what you guys are and trying to help to fix it. Or is this not the role, or is there a role that the Jamaica government should be playing or not? Is it their prerogative to be involved in this music?
Yes, it is their prerogative to be involved in the music, the right way. You know what I mean? But they don't make it be their prerogative, no. And why they don't make it be their prerogative is that if this record music that comes out of Jamaica was rich people music, then I think it would be their prerogative. You know, but because it's surrounded a vast variety amount of person or people who is just poor people, you know, it don't become their prerogative. You know, what they do, they will accept the benefit that it bring in to the country, yes, because it's come in their hands, you know, and they can take it and utilize a lot of other things that they want to do, which is, you know, it's coming like a substitute to what they want to do, you know what I mean? But that they mainly care about, but like support it and embrace it certain way, like it's something really, really genuine, then I don't think them have that feel, no. I don't think them think like that. I don't think them think like it's their prerogative to you know, cater for the music in such a way, no.
Mm-hmm.
But just like we know, you know, me know it as original knowledge, Bob know it as Bob Marley, a lot of constructive singers from Jamaica know it, like Al Burning Spear, them know it. Toots and the Maytals, them know it. You know? All the genuine artists know it. That music is what's going to teach the world a lesson. Music is going to teach the world a lesson. You know, and the stone that the builder refused many times will come dead kind of stone. You know? So, you see, We don't worry ourselves about that still, Dr. Eve, because you don't know, say, you know, music, give we joy, it give we comfort, it give a sense of humor, it give us strength, it give us positive thinking, you know, it heals our wounds sometimes when we feel wounded, you know, so it's a blessing.
Wow. There are a lot of talk about Jamaicans who have lots of money somewhere tied up somewhere out there, but lots of them don't know that there's money out there, and lots of them probably don't have the means of connecting to where these money are. In that way, don't you think the government, or maybe not the government, we know these problems are out there. Why at least probably somebody with a little money can set up some means that these foundation artists would be able to get a little bit of what they work so hard for?
You want the name government.
Okay.
Government. I always love governed people, you know?
Yes.
Your own way. You know?
Yes.
I always love governed people in their own way. Well, so to say, just like us about these artists who have money out there and then, you know, and then the government, in other words, you have to try to understand, so then the government should be responsible, participating, catering for these people, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that if they have a music and cultural department set up, that when we look at reggae music, this is our culture. It's not one of those little music that, I think reggae music is a little bit different because this speak to our history. This kind of a music is kind of different to me. And I was thinking that the government should try to do its best to help the citizens in order to help them educated, since this is such a money-making business, to help them or direct them in a way that will help them to collect what belongs to them, and also help them when they get out there on the other side of the country, to give them tools in order to empower them so they can negotiate, they understand contracts, and to even set up something that these people can go back to in order if they have questions and such the like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. I think the same like what you think, like, you know, but I don't know what personally they are thinking, you know, in their head, are what kind of support they want to really give towards that issue, of catering and circumstances. But like I say, I'm just with you because I think in the same way that you are thinking, in a way the support is coming from, you know, where it's gonna benefit at the end of the day,
I was thinking, it just came to me, it has been several years now that I'm thinking that somebody should contact the Norman Manley Law School and say to these guys up there, we have one of the premier law schools in this side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Make it interesting for these up-and-coming lawyers. This is a solid way to make money. Lawyers are in this business for making money. And set them up in such a way to gear them up to make the business of entertainment law lucrative and gear it towards what's going on in the music industry. So these young people would be able to go and pulling these money rather than, again, and of course I know that these people all over the world who are trying to help still, they're not in it to doing it for free. So he will have our own people still making a little money rather than somebody else again in some other country trying to look for these money for us and then maybe getting a big, big cut out of it. And I'm not saying nobody should, but I'm saying we have intelligent minds can go for these monies that are out there. And if these young people coming out set up an organization so artists can come and get information and get contract, and they know and understand how to negotiate their contracts and so on, then we won't have so many people who have been in, spend their life in the music industry and then stretching them out, them hand to beg, and they have number one music selling all over the world.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a good way, it's a better way of handling the situation, yes? Yeah, I think it would be a better way of handling the situation. But can they look at it like, oh, me, you're looking at it?
Well, you know what happened a lot of time, Bronco, is that we chatter like me, you're chattering. I think that I always take the responsibility when a lot of things that I should call the law school, because if we just sit down and talk about it and a Bronco don't call the law school or Evelyn don't call the law school or say to our government, find somebody in the government and say, hey, this is what happening. Is anybody not taking note? And maybe you would realize, oh, my gosh, we did not know Bronco knowledge make all of these great music and people have taken it all over the world. We did not know that. Wow, let's jump into this thing and make sure that we help our citizens. You understand what I'm saying? So I think a lot of times, instead of we chatting so much, we should be more proactive and start doing stuff, because it doesn't mean that the government knows what we think they should know.
Yeah, in other words, you know, actions speak louder than words, you know.
I think so.
So you have to just, yeah, because sometimes we can say things, but if we don't move towards it, many times it don't happen.
Yeah. You
know? And just help those that help themselves, you know.
And
so that's knock and it shall be open. It shall be open. Ask and it shall be given. You see, and seek and you must find. You see, so you have to make something happen.
Yes, yes, I definitely think so. Definitely think so. You know what? I am definitely going to have to send some kind of communication to the law school and knock on a couple of doors and see if they're going to do it. But, you know, a lot of times I just think I'm just taking up so much. Somebody needs to get in and realize that, hey, everybody will benefit once we get this straightened out. I think we're just giving away a lot of our talent, a lot of our product, which is the music, and we're not getting back anything. Majority of the musicians not getting back as much as they should be getting.
Yeah, it's true.
We're going to make another big, big sound of here. I want to say big love to guest 4880 over here at CRS Radio, Caribbean Radio Show. Also want to say big love to those of you who are in CRSRadio.com, CRSRadio.com. Big, nice chat room over there. You can go and sit in and chat with us. Hey, we're having the legend himself, Mr. Bronco Knowledge, the man who I say the historian of Trenchtown. We're going to talk a little bit about the history of Trenchtown, and also we're going to play some big music to you. 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. big man we call Mr. Vern Knowledge, the legend. We talk about legendary musician. We're talking about Vern Knowledge. We're talking about the historian. We're talking about Vern Knowledge. Hey, welcome back, Vern. Thanks so much for being here. Sirius Radio, the Knowledge Station, embraces you every single time. Thank you.
I'm still here. I'm still right here.
You have been, what age did you start in this music?
Like the music from the old and the age started the music like within 17, 18 years of age.
But I also know that you're also a great dancer too. You didn't really just start out singing. You were a dancer as well.
Yeah, from the age of 13 coming up, you know. Yeah, from the age of 13 coming up, and then I changed, make a transmission from start with 16, 17, come right up. I started music more serious for it. You know, and turn into that's what I am musical, you know. But like I said to you in a past interview, like, in those earlier stages, dancing as 13-year-old, it's like my name of my dance group was Firing Squad. While those times, it was Scotch Dance Group and those dance group, you know. Then we turned it over to, you know, Roach Dance Group and Scorpion and things like that. Yeah, that's in the early 70s coming up. You know, 69, 70, 71, in time, the early, you know. Yeah.
Wow. So, being in Trenchtown and starting out, where did you guys usually go and do your little dancing? Where were your venues?
Well, what really happened is, like, you know, in Jamaica, you always have this every year, now they have this festival thing, you know? Every year you saw in Jamaica, you always have festival, come right. Festival thing of based upon all, you know, your festival song. Starting from our first tune, like you used to be one time and say, Yes, it's here again. Festival time is here again, like them kind of hear their music. Well, the others have competitions and things like that, you know. Well, it so happened that either of all done by Tivoli Garden, you have a band named New Vibration. So one time we had a dance hall, big youth song, Concrete Jungle, and Adam tuned in that band usually used to play the music for us. And many times we win all, you know, medal for, you know, for those competition. We represent the Tivoli Garden, even though we still live at Trenchtown and about musically and just band thing as young youth, you know, we represent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll probably come with all things like that. We'll have a competition with me and Scotch Dance Group and, you know, we'll have a competition with other dance groups, you know. And, you know, and then we are, even now I meet Dean Fraser about 3 months ago, you know. Yeah, and then we meet with Rally Matter about all the good days that we do. And when I come from school, I play him sax. And me a dance and them other thing. Them other times, yeah, I was one of the best dancers I could even mention of them time there.
Wow.
Before even Bogle and all them on the street. And you, they used to observe me a lot when I used to dance too. You know. But doing the dance and things like that, I was feeling that accident. I'm not just a dancer, I just let me start feeling inspiration, start move within me like a natural mystic. Telling me in my mind like, I'm more a messenger, you know, a messenger who in my life will change up to something different from just being a dancer. And my life is going to turn over to someone who really can be a chanter, a singer, to spread a message, you know, and to the people. Because what really happened growing up and observing and listening to other singers doing them things in many different ways. I always have a good feeling when it comes to the real music, like the music where I carry the message. Not just the music where I carry the jump up, thing, but the music where I carry the deep roots message. You know, like, my mother used to call me Little Big Man because I'm small. Group was like nothing big from the younger stage. So, you know, that them kind of concrete wall that start sealing me from all them years like growing up, you know, in between, like, all coming up from them 14, 15, 16, I start to feel a natural mystic, a natural inspiration of getting music inside me, you know. Start record my 18-year-old.
Well, and which studio you started out at?
Yes, you know, so I think the first studio was starting out at when we were records to the same the money with them. With them say he was a madman.
That's a great Lee Scratch Perry.
Great Lee Scratch Perry, you know. Then I was saying we end up King Tubby Studio in Waterhouse. Then we come back down to Channel One, you know. And we end up going to Al Church Isles too, you know. And come right back to Dynamics. You know? Yeah, so we just record a minute studio, you know, them time there. Then Tough Gang now, Federals, before it becomes Tough Gang, Federal Studio, before it now Gang them, Bob them come get it. And become Tough Gang. And yeah, we record into that studio also. You know, that becomes Tough Gang, you know.
Tell me, what was it like, say, recording? What was it like in a session at the great, I was going to say something, but anyway, the great Mr. Scratch. Tell me, I mean, you're doing a session there with him. I want you to describe the mood, because recording in a lot of ways has changed, especially for the young people. Some young people nowadays don't understand what it is to go into a studio with a live band and how the dynamics goes on there. I mean, they just sit down with their pro tool and they do something and somebody else go buy something and they start mixing and the whole thing is much different now. Give me an idea, or give us an idea what it was like in a studio in those days.
What it like was into a studio those days? First thing, going to a studio in those days, it have two things in it. Sometimes I look nervous, you know, temperature is with inside of you sometimes. And the next time you're going, you don't have that nervous, you know. Attitude, you know what I mean? Yes, have a brave attitude, like you're sure of what you're gonna do, you know what I mean? And then in the studio those times, still the recording, the engineer, like say, is different, you know. It's like engineer change mood, come down the line, you know what I mean? But sometimes they go into a studio, you know, it was good because like. Experience, you go and then you have your rhythm guitar where you already make your song with, and then you go into the studio and then if you can play a rhythm guitar, a next man who can play a rhythm guitar guy present what you play to the musician them. Alright, them go and listen to you. Yeah, the part of me, you play upon your rhythm guitar and things like that, and then play upon the electrical instrument and then, you know. Then themselves, yeah, this relative to this relative to that, bass, the drum, the keyboard and everything relative together, you know what I mean? The engineer say, yeah, everything is coordinated. Them start vice you and all that, you know, understand me?
Okay.
You go in and then you vice, you know what I mean? See, and then take your vice and then, oh, what would happen enough times so until you go into the studio and then you do a one track first. And them time they get to have a whole bunch of trucks. You know, because you have two truck tape and four truck tape.
Okay.
That's something like how sometimes them time the biggest tape you have all them times are all 8 truck tape, you know, you have for 16 truck tape and 24 truck tape. Them time they, you know. So the engineer have a precise spawn way model.
Wow.
So the artist again to if you're not good enough. And the engineer, and you go and you record your voice, them time the engineer, yeah, I'll take that first cut then. Him don't do anything else with that first cut, him won't keep it. Like, in other words, him don't delete it.
Mm-hmm.
Which more give a second and a third or fourth cut. He don't delete the first cut because him knows so well as an engineer. Many times an artist come into the studio and then him come into the studio at him just make a first cut. It nice like a first take, him sing and the engineer take it. And then when him go back again, we try to sing if you have the same formula. He don't, and he can't find but the same formula.
Ah.
I don't experience that again. I get inside the studio. The engineer will take that first vice, when call the first cut, and he keep it. Because many times again, when time if you come again to come sing the tune again same way, you can't find the same, you know, vibes, no. You know, vibe job, so you know, I laugh. I say, is that good to me? Keep all the first cut, because I never feel it, keep the first cut. Me, you know, who that really have?
Nothing.
No, you wouldn't have nothing, because you come and sing the tune good the first time, then I take it, and then may I try to sing the tune again, and you can't maintain what you just maintained.
Wow. So, if you can remember, your number one tune or the tunes that did the best, were those tunes when you were nervous or when you were confident?
Well, like I said to you, Sister Dr. Eve, I'm telling the truth, the real truth and as much truth. I never really feel nervous doing music.
Okay.
I never feel nervous going to sing into a studio. And like, you know, I never feel nervous going on a stage to sing. Never.
Wow.
Because you know what? Take away that nervousness from me. Dancing take away that nervousness from me.
Okay.
Because I start dancing. When I used to dance, you know, I used to dance with a lot of people.
Okay.
So it's like me aware of what they feel that the people is all about during my dancing.
Okay.
I dance with people screaming, they make noise, them going on a whole thing as if me I do a concert.
Okay.
So it used to be like that. So like going into the studio, me never have that kind of fear there. Kind of thing. Me was like a singing like again to, you know, just love listen to the legend of music and I sing them with me. So it's come like a bit of a brave percent of me to sing.
Now that you're still in the business, getting better than a good wine, so they say. What is the difference for you personally now, recording those days? And I know you just came out of the studio not too long ago for this interview. I mean, what is the difference? Is there a different dynamics now than before, and if there's a preference?
Yeah, that's different. Look, the difference is like, I'm so the older the moon and the brighter I shine.
All right.
The difference is like I said, older moon. Because what really happened, in those young days doing the music, Dr. Eve, I feel more solid now in this time,
mm-hmm.
doing the music.
Mm-hmm.
I have more control in this time.
Ah, okay.
The music, okay. You know what I mean? I'm feeling more confident in what I am doing towards the music, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm more stronger, more certain of the message that I have to spread within the music. I have to pass on to the younger third and fourth generation in the music.
Okay. So I what I'm hearing is more or less the studio producer, the studio owner, they would dictate what you do, and you did not have much control at that time. Rather, they were the listeners. They understood what their market that they were pushing you, what they wanted, and they were listening for a particular sound that you had no control but just to go in there and make sure you sing on chord.
In those times?
Yes.
Yeah, well, all right. Facility, yes. Like, you go, like, you go both ways. Yeah, because in those times, the facility I would like to, you know, in the music, I didn't really have it, no.
Okay.
Facility, and it was like in the hand of the producer or the people who will get you into it,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, and the confidence you have put in the producer and the people who will get you into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, what you're going to deliver to them to make it be something, and then when it be something that you don't benefit back from. You know, so it's all going that same kind of surrounding. But knowing that to be what you are now and then have full control of what you are doing now.
Yes.
And then it go back to our sense right now is, you know, where you help yourself, and then you can't be feel unless you feel yourself. You know, it's a different turn. You know? It's a different circle.
You
understand me? I'm a different feel, a different vibe.
Okay, I definitely understand that. Definitely.
Because you know that a surround where you be in control, you know, I mean, that's a surround where someone be in control of what you're doing upon a musical, you know, mm-hmm. terms.
Mm-hmm. Or in other, you're in control, but at least you have people who are supporting what you're doing right there rather than dictating to you what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, you have people supporting what you're doing, yes, and then you have people try to give you inspiration still too, yes, but not dictation, you know what I mean? Like them dictate to you of what them personally want you to do. Or,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. You know, a lot of people, I've always been curious about a lot of folks who record with Scratch. I'm just kind of with this Mr. Scratch, the legend, because I really want to get out a lot of the genius, what people call mad crazy, the geniusness, and really give him the accolade. And so far, you know, just everybody, there's not one person I've interviewed that don't say Lee Scratch Perry is a genius at what he does in terms of music. As a matter of fact, he when he was on the show, he said he definitely, anybody wanted to do a collab, he's definitely up to it now. So just putting the word out there for anybody wants to get in touch with Lee Scratch Perry for a collab. Just give me a jingle. I can probably get some information to him for you. Now, what was it like? You have done music with Lee Scratch. Why did you choose his studio?
Well, at that moment, you know, it's not really, it was not choice of minds at that moment. You know?
Okay.
It was not choice of minds. It was a choice of the producer.
Okay.
Because like I said to you, in those times, I just, Tapazuki was a producer for us as knowledge. And like I say, he was represented to us by a friend of mine by the name of Nigga Charlie, you know. And like I say, under those circumstances, to how we didn't really take the reggae music serious and sing, and then people used to sound like even Baba or Peter or Bonnie or them, and they seriously towards the music. And them not to listen to it again, and let's start recording music for ourselves because it sound good. And then in come Tapazuki. You know what I mean? Like I said, then, we're willing to, and I'm saying want to produce for cover so nice, we're willing to put some music on, you know, on the tape. You know what I mean? So it was his choice to get involved now with Lee Scratch Perry and book the time and the date for us to record in his studio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just same to him, book the time and date for record at King's of the Studio and the same thing for Channel One Studio.
Okay, so it's a matter of their choice rather than yours. What was your
it was their choice than mine.
What was the experience like there, you know, as compared, because you have the opportunity to record at several other studios. What is like with Scratch?
Well, with Scratch, I can still remember of those times, you know, it's like, you know, it's in my time of my experience. He's a serious individual, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
He's a really serious individual, but, you know, it's not like, within his seriousness, it was like a person who was dangerous, like I said to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some people might feel like, say, yeah, Lee Scratch for Arab, and you come home and say, like, I'm going to eat you like him as a vampire. No. Yeah, it was not like that, but he's a man in a certain kind of way different, still, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the man still left more of a conversation, and then yeah, I mean, he will hold on to what he is thinking or what he's trying to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you he can contradict him half a pint to him more than two.
A strong-headed person. When you're in that studio and he's recording, how was that session different from Channel 1?
Yeah, that's such a, it's a good, that's a good question you asked me, because, you know, there's like, even though, like I said, they have a tough gang student, so they have, you know, those kind of three top students with a certain kind of recognition of people around 12 minutes is King Tubbs Studio, Leeds Express Studio, Channel 1 Studio. But the three Studio have identical sound, yes, but it's three different sounds. It have three different feel.
Oh.
Studio is three Studio have get three down-to-earth feel, but it's three different feel, you know what I mean? You understand me?
Yes, yes, sir.
King Tubbs Studio have a different feel, a different ways, you see. King Channel 1 should have a different fees, a different way, certain, you know, different board, different kind of thing, you know.
Oh.
And then Leapers should have a different board, different kind of things, different kind of, different from our engineer experience, you know, different from our mix, have them different way of mixing music, you know what I mean? You see, in the Siamon, I say, well, in respect King Thomas book, I can mix the music like this and do this and do that. I respect Lee's Transfer book, I can do this and, yeah. Every one of them have them different formations.
Okay, so if you want a certain thing, you would choose that studio, depending on what you wanted to mix.
Right, depends on what you want, or depends on how you want your music sound.
Also, know that Lee Scratchperry was a big-time dancer, too. You ever knew? You ever...
But you see him right now, he can't say he's everything, you know, because, you know, anything he chooses to do, he just do and he don't care, you know.
That's what we thought. That's the genius there coming out.
Don't care what you want to say, you just do what you feel like.
Well, absolutely. Hey, that's what we have the power to do, you know, what we want to do. I want to take another big, big sound coming out of Mr. Branco. We're going to talk a little about the Bob Marley Arrow. I'm sure a lot of you would like to hear about that. If you want to make us a call and give us a little chat, 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. I want to say big up to all of you hanging out with us. Those of you who are on iTunes, I want to say big up to you. Those of you who are on TuneIn Radio, big up to you as well. Those of you who are on the Big F Book, big up to you. Those of you who are going to be listening to us on archives, you know we love your support. Thank you so much. 1.2 million and growing. Hey, we need to hit this 2 million before the end of the year. So make sure you send out all of the links for us and spread the word. CRS Radio, the knowledge station. is Bagalai. This is from the legend himself, Mr. Bronco Knowledge, the historian coming out of Trenchtown. I want to say good morning to you, 9:25 p.m. on the eastern side of the globe. Big up yourself, all of you hanging out with me. Well, this should kind of make you a little warmer, those of you who are really in the deep, deep freeze and the winter has not started yet, you know. Hey, you just have to be prepared. No complaint here. Just be prepared. Welcome back, Bronco. Welcome back to CRS Radio, the Knowledge Station. Hey, I want to say big love to Forrest out there. Happy Earth Strong to Forrest. I know you had a great, great show to this afternoon. Big up to all of you guys up there in Costa Rica. More so, big up to you, my darling sister. I know Dan must have taken care of you well today. You deserve it. Big up to you. Happy Earth Strong to you, Forrest. Blessings. Bronco, let's talk a little bit because you have gone, first of all, when we talk about reggae music, reggae music has gone through a lot of stages. And to be honest with you, I'm learning a lot while I do these interviews and being on this show too. We had a real, real spike when Jamaica really got on the map. Not with really reggae music. Reggae music came afterwards. But a real big spike when we had this Kia era. Talk to me about that if you remember, because a lot of people don't remember that we took the world by storm when the ska came out.
When what came up, can you please repeat?
Ska.
Ska?
Yeah.
Okay, you're talking about ska music.
Yes.
What are you saying when ska came out?
I said, we took the world by storm. Before reggae music, before Bob Marley, we had the ska that took the world by storm. Talk to me a little bit about that, if you can remember it.
Yeah, you see, ska music now. Yeah, it was one of Jamaican great, great music, yes. Because like that was the end of the stream as the music thing before, you know what I mean? Because like the three partition, the ska, the rock steady, and the reggae. You know what I mean? Because, like I said, my uncle named Scully Sims, a man that come from in them same days, they're still too.
Hold on, we're supposed to have Scully Skims on Tuesday. Coming up on Tuesday, right here on Caribbean Radio Show.
Yeah, you can ask them both in Navy, Del Rai, brother, Bronco Knowledge, man, anyway.
All right, definitely. But, okay. I mean, Bronco, I didn't know how you have them great history. You never connect us before, man. What's going on?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes, you then, like, for instance, you get an interview and then you want to do it, but still. No, nothing. Like, I'm a person like that. I don't feel no one when no one get involved otherwise in the interview. So, you know, pass on to them views or thing like that, you know what I mean? It don't worry me because, like, more time it's good to hear more than one. I said two is better than one, so it's good to hear as many different voices.
True.
Yeah, people can get good knowledge and understanding from you more than one person. But you still, most of the time, next time I get into it, take away most of the time we may like to have, when we can illustrate and even answer many questions that's really been asked.
Yeah.
It really offended to me, you know, boys, some kind of told me don't have answering the amount of questions I would like to answer, you know what I mean?
I hear you, sir.
So even like this moment now, it's still good to, you know, can illustrate and answer the question that I've been asked, you know, because I'm relaxed, something like that, you know?
I don't want you to get to relax, you know, because I know it's early morning. Early morning, you're having this, so we want to make sure you're up and, you know, still with us. Talk to me, as I said, talk to me about ska, because if we look at ska, what Jamaica did for ska around the world, this was epic at that time.
Yeah, man, ska was a real, real good, authentic thing where music is concerned. in a Jamaica them time, because we as little youth used to do it, so you know. Uh-huh. I mean, scar, 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 ba-na-na-na-na, Jamaican scar, scar, you know what I mean? It was like a joy, and as a little youth learning to dance and then getting the dancing thing, and I've seen a lot of people dance and enjoy themselves. So it was ska them time, you know.
Uh-huh.
Long before you come, you have rock steady, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then the music was nice them time. Even Al Bob come do all ska, because see my dog is kind of ska music still too, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
See, in the world for good, nice, real ska music there. And then Toots again, and then it is a master for the ska again too.
Yeah.
You know, you have a whole lot of ledge where master of the scare come right now before them come drop back into the rock steady thing, you know. You see? So music is a thing like this, like, you know, for instance. Every music have its own message. You know? Every music have its own joy and comfort. And then every music have its own person ears that is ring a bell.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you see, from in those caddies, the music was nice, and then it ring a bell, and the people and ears, and them love it, you know what I mean, and then go with the flow. They go with the flow, you know what I mean, until an experience come around, you know, like with this rocksteady thing. You know, we have our Daddy and Alton Ellis and them, and they were going to master again, you know, them surround there when it comes to the rocksteady thing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You see, and then, you know, it's like a change. And the music feel, you know. Not saying like people don't love to hear ska again. Ska still, music still, and make and still go on, but it's like a different feel, you know, the music. So, you know, so people love to take on to new things that seem new, you know, them side, you know, and change with the changing of the music, so long as they can get into another sweet era, you know. So the rock still is come back, and it's kind of like another sweet era of music. That's the way I bring joy. And, you know, comfort to the people, and I get into a dancehall thing still, too. You know? Because the real kind of dancehall thing start get in between the middle part of it now when it comes to the rocksteady part, you know. Ska, yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Ska is the happy dancing thing, but it's not so much a dancehall thing like, oh, rocksteady kind of bring it into the dancehall thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you come up the floor of the reggae.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about rocksteady, to me it seems like United States really catch on to the rocksteady a lot more. I'm not sure, you can correct me, more than Europe did at the time. I'm looking at Europe really holding on to more reggae, more even right now. Maybe, I don't know if I'm right. But I'm looking at the United States. They were more involved so much with ska than, say, Europe at the time. How correct is that statement?
Well, you know, you can... I can't really fathom, because I'm not really saying that I don't want to find answers for this question. When it comes to like United States, but sure, I have much that experience, you know, of being in the United States to feel and how they take on to ska, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I heard what you say and what you say is being a significant figure. I can't towards what I hear other people say, yeah, about the ska music. Yeah, they really do take on to the ska music, different from what they would take on to the rock steady.
Mm-hmm.
So other experience of other person would say to me, you know, not of my own experience, because I didn't get that feel. Yeah, you understand this?
Yeah, when I look at some of the history, when I look at we had I have been talking to quite a few folks, and when we look at some of the history and what was going on with the United States, there are a lot of a lot of musicians here in the United States were getting involved in the ska as well. You look at some of these YouTube videos and you see that ska was very much, everybody was doing that ska.
Yeah.
But we find a lot of ska band now is in Europe. lot more probably than certainly more than is in Jamaica.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's true. Because he's still in then still Europe is a big, big place, you know. And Europe don't consist of just one country, you know, a lot of different countries in Europe. It's really big, you know, and then have so much scalp and bands in those countries. It must a million times, I mean, bigger than Jamaica where it's concerned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I spread out more, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like people take on to anything to make people happy musically, you know, they will just take on to it.
Oh, definitely.
Yes, so if one of the music that made them happy, they're going to take on to it, see me.
Definitely. Well, we passed on the ska. We get into a little bit of rock steady there for a while. But here we come with reggae. And here we come with, we now know him as the legend. And sometimes I don't really want to say that a lot because I think that there are a lot of musicians who really made a lot of headways that we're not really bigging up or mentioning a lot. And when we look at reggae now, we just think Bob Marley, reggae, synonymous with music in Jamaica. As a matter of fact, synonymous with Jamaica is Bob Marley, and we're majority of folks are forgetting the other people who are instrumental in making this great music. Bob Marley inherited a part of that, took it another step, but there are great guys that made this music that Bob Marley eventually pivoted off into the stardom.
Yeah, Bob Marley him take it to a higher level, yes, but you're not, because it's not like Bob Marley him create reggae or him was the foundation of making reggae. He's one of the foundations of reggae, but it's not like he's just the foundation of reggae.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say in the reggae music I sing before him, Bob Marley come get really involved with the reggae.
Right.
To the deep way that old, you know,
right.
Level him take it to. You know what I mean? You think, like I say, even Toots and the man come start singing certain kind of music, I think, say, then a reggae.
Mm-hmm.
Even at my uncle I sing certain music, I think, say, why? A reggae. And you have other man sing reggae music, but some of them don't call it reggae.
Mm-hmm.
It's just still a reggae they might play. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of different men still, if you even interview them, can't tell you where the reggae come from.
Mm-hmm.
See? Because even now, Bun League, where they are getting to see an interview, he might tell you where the reggae come from again, from free intention. When I was before Bob Marley and reggae and everything. But nothing so far as man, I might have said before this and before that. The thing is this, like, is even though, like, in my father's house, there's many mansions.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And then again, to you will do something where it's based upon one thing, but you have different ways of doing it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you have different levels of taking it, you know. Because even them times they still Bob, you have an individual above to respect them times still to you know the music fraternity,
mm-hmm.
like you know a man like Joe Higgs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the man was some ledge to it. In Bob Anderson was. A legend of theme farm still too.
Mm-hmm.
In a different way.
Yes.
So he's going to a level. Jacob Miller, that's him way again.
Yes.
You know, it's still again to take it to a different level. So I work for different individual of, you know, the reggae impact inside them, but it them have the message leading to a different level. You understand me? Well, it's Bob now. With his reggae music and to the level where Bob to take it to, you know, him take it to a really high level.
Mm-hmm.
While if we have knowledge still coming after him, you know, we take it to a high level to the same way, but sometimes we don't get the publicity and the establishment we really get as him.
Right.
To get that recognition.
Right, right.
That gets throughout the world as Bob Marley still the same. But we sing the same song, but we sing it in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
It can lead to the same foundation, but in different ways, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in respect to him still, you know, always, you know, him really take it to a different level. But that's why he was the main foundation. You know, take a lot of different roots to make the branch and the leaf.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Talk to me about, because you, this the grounds, Trenchtown, were the stamping ground, so to speak, of Bob Marley and the many musicians around that time. Talk to me, if you can remember, what it was like when Bob Marley came around.
Well, the music in that time and time, yeah. All right, then. It's the time and time Bob Marley came around and, you know, like, started more just digging to Trenchtown and all that. Yeah, but a lot of different singers still, you know, did in church sound still outside. Because the last time me was talking about the concept of the music, it, like I said, two other people get involved and we couldn't get it spread out to the dimension where it's supposed to spread out to. Because even though me was talking about Waterhouse and this great relationship between Trenchtown and Waterhouse
mm-hmm.
and the music,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was a real cool, real, real link up. But you have had a giant community where a lot of ledge come from too during those times. We're dealing with the music fraternity the same way. Just like in the same place, and still it have Greenwich Town.
Yes.
And we call Greenwich Farm. And you have even Dedham Town, Tivoli Garden section, and where it was Bacawal. You have some great musicians and singers come from them sectors still. So we got from you, the Greenwich Town farm, you have Prince Salah, you know, you see, you have Juno Ross them, you know, you see, in terms of the project, you have some good, you have some good artists come from in that era still too, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You see, and then I did have to one side, you have Al Ken Booth and some more good artists come from the other side, you see, just like a Leroy Smart come from the same Greenwich farms era still and all them things, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But the stronger relationship was like, you know, between the Waterhouse and Trenchtown kind of musical venture.
There are a lot of people really, because it is only a couple of, well, last year, I really recognize Waterhouse as having this impact on our music through Mightyful 13, who usually be on this show. That I realized that there was a real Waterhouse dynasty. I had no clue. I always think that Trenchtown was where everything came from.
No, Trenchtown, the foundation of where it came from. And Waterhouse was being, like I said, it was a giant.
Okay.
A giant community where Trenchtown and Waterhouse was concerned. Because I said right now, because most of us still got embrace Waterhouse and make it stronger than the music fraternity. People from Trenchtown.
Ah.
Like I say, you know, the political issue, a lot of people have to run from Trenchtown and still live at Waterhouse.
What?
So it's going to make Waterhouse get more stronger and intended more communication with the Trenchtown thing. You understand me? And the music fraternity.
Okay.
But Trenchtown have most of it.
Oh.
And Waterhouse is coming like a little beanie brother where Trenchtown and music is concerned.
Nicely, nicely. Well explained, well explained. Talk to me now about Bob coming on the scene. What was happening around that time and how did that change? Did, if you knew him, and I'm sure we're going to hear a little history about your involvement with him. I mean, did you guys see him as this person who was going to take this music to another level?
Tell the truth. I tell you, the feel and the love I have for him all the way. I didn't know that he was, you can feel something inside. I just feel like he was the one who was going to take it to the level.
Wow.
You know, because why I said, you know, like, as a youth I grew up, it's like, when I listen to all the artists them who really are sing, and then I deliver the message of the real reggae music, I used to feel the vibes through him and Peter and Bonnie Moore. Like I said, I listen to other artists who really sing because of them different flavor. You know what I mean? Like I said, then Delroy will have a different flavor. Ken Booth have a different flavor. You know what I mean? Joe Higgs have a different form. Bob and Snap have a different way. heptones have for them different way. You see, alternates have for them different way. You see, all the different man have them different from a way of kekla fish, or them do them own fishing on a musical venture. You see, in different way. They have them different message when I put the music with eight to different way. You have some way where that maybe eight to the lovers rock way of the music. You have some way like into the dancehall part. You have some way into the down to earth authentic roots music. You know, different way. But the way where the lead will touch me most of the time, I'm have more serious where the message is passing. And true. When I come through the lines like Bob, Peter, and Bonnie, you know, I used to adore them when they singing and then take them money away from me serious. And I say, and I think as a youth, yeah, that's the level I really want to reach to. You know, a serious level where I can get to spread the message on a serious Rastaman way, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bob was not born in Trenchtown. Where did Bob come from and how did he get to Trenchtown and why Trenchtown?
Well, like I say, in a way, anywhere the Almighty Jah ordained to do, to be, to get the knowledge, we are the servant of the Almighty, you know. We are just servant, you know. We are just people, but we are servant of the Almighty. And then my DNA works, so manifest through him servant them sometimes. You see, even though Bob, even though he talk of Selassie, him sing of Selassie, like, still he was a servant of the Almighty. He was a servant of Selassie, he carried the message. And then think the same way. You know? And then what happened now, even though them sure it's Bob Marley born on 9 Mile, yes, he really born on 9 Mile, St. Anne's and them places.
Mm-hmm.
But him have people, one, him grew up from long time, what been into Trenchtown. He started coming to Trenchtown from a more youth and them thing there.
Okay.
See, man, Bonnyweiler and them man, they spar. You see, Bonnyweiler and him become so close, almost like half brothers. You know, because what really happened, Bob Marley, Mama, she's Miss Cedar Booker. How come then, you know what I mean, after Bob Marley and Bonnyweiler's father come get involved with her, and then she have them have a half-sister, where her name is Pearl Livingston. Young girl from the side of Bob Marley, where him have a sister. And the younger girl from the side of Bonnyweiler's, them kind of where him have a sister too.
Oh.
So the father of that daughter is Taddy Shutt, which is Bonnyweiler's father, you know. That's why she named Pearl Livingston. Oh. But yet still, she's the daughter of Bob Marley's mother, which is Miss Booker.
Uh-huh.
Can't understand me.
So there's a little family thing in this.
Yeah, there's like a family thing in this, because I'm Bonnyweiler's father, and named Taddy Shutt, and they live at 2nd Street. Same place, same road where Delroy Wilson's mom lived on.
Okay.
You know?
So I see now. I really does understand, you know, how he came into. So when he came into Trenchtown and started singing, where did you meet him? And what was the day-to-day with Bob being in that community?
Well, to be fair to you right now, to say, Bob was much more bigger than we as youth growing up. See, like my 11, 12-year-old more than we and things like that. You know, but where the meeting up happened sometime. The meeting up happened on various occasions. It's like, for instance, I would go down to First Street and then we'll play some ball, me and my, the youth members in my age. And then we'll hear some music, I play, and then we know, so yeah, Bob Marley and Peter, so I'm going away with them over there in the room there at First Street, I play. You know, and then as youth, we'll listen to them and things like that. And then if we go up on 3rd Street, for 18 3rd Street, just like we're here, we're on Garcia Tap, we hear some music I play, and above them, you know, the yard there, for Joseph, then we'll play music same way, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I go up on 5th Street, up on Martin, more planners and planner, and then we hear some music a couple more time, above them and Peter, them and Bonnie, them there. Right back there, draw them Charlie, and them and Martin, and planner, and do some music and things like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, football thing, to him love play football and them thing, they used to have this team up on them, I play football and we have customer play and things like that. You know? Yeah. And then going around them as youth and all them thing, they just as big a youth, we still have the support, to still just love one with their own, and we have try to do our singing still to and all them things, you know, while them are going do for them things same way. You know what I mean? Until the music start dig deep and start get, you know, like when before an international level, you know, with three man them together, it's like, you like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, chapters just put three man them together, like, you know, like, a while away. You know, we can't be broken. If Bob and Peter and Bono together, like, them, Charles and the three man them together as a musical team. You know, and the man them start to do them things. Them are different, all them are soul rebels.
Mm.
And all them, and the dreadlocks and nothing like that. You know, sing about, I'm a rebel, soul rebel. All them tune there, you know what I mean? Them time they say three man them together. From, you know, them 50s, 60s, I come right on. You know, son, you know, just beating them away, you know, so I go in and out trench town. Since Bob and Peter and Bono started, you know, so I go in and out trench town. More time, Bono will have the Irish part, Bob Marley there. And Peter, you know, like a 9 mile and the more time they are trench town. You know? Because Bonnie was the man, he born at Trenchtown. Because Peter and Bob were born at Trenchtown.
Oh, Peter, okay. Peter wasn't born in Trenchtown. Wow. Okay.
That's my country that Peter born to. You
know. Okay.
But see, no matter where you're born, no matter where you come from your word, you took care of the works of the Almighty, which Jairus the Pharaoh did, you know. I mean, put it inside of you as an inborn conception, so you deliver it. You know, and get your respect. And that was good still.
Oh,
I think with Bob, them time still do it, was a loving person, you know what I mean?
Wow.
A gentle person.
You
know, if you piece them off, you piece them off still, but, you know.
I hear you. We're going to take one of your big songs, and we're going to come back, and we're going to go to the phone line as well. 661-467-2407. The phone line to call in now, 661-467-2407. The legend himself, Mr. Bronco Knowledge, live in our virtual studio from France, yes, Polybrew Francais. I don't speak Spanish or French. but he's joining us in our green room right now, live in our green room. So give us a call, 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. We get to the phone lines when we get back. as the big man talks about the big, big thing. Charity. Yeah, one of my favorite, this one. Yes, the big man we call Mr. Bronco Knowledge, one of the legendary men when he comes on to this music, and not also the music, the history. You know what? This is so very important to me. This is why I'm taking my time to do the best that I can to archive all of these great stories as much as I can, because let me tell you, somewhere along the line, these are going to be needed, and I don't think anybody is trying to get these together. And not only that, to honor the legacy of these great people, and these are great people when it comes on to our country, our musicians, our greatest asset. And for the life of me, I'm not sure why our government is not seeing it. Maybe somebody can correct me on that. They are, but I don't feel that way, not to the degree that they should be. Welcome back, Bronco. Let me go to the phone lines and pick up a couple of calls here while I'm at it. 347, welcome into the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station. I think we just got dropped there a little bit. I am not hearing you. I'm not hearing you. Why are you not hearing me? Let me just go back to music here and try. Let's see. Welcome to the Knowledge Station, 347. Good evening. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Doctor. Once again, pleasure, Anna.
Oh, this is the big man we call the 13, the big man.
I say, you look my big brother, Bronco, you know, because I've told you to listen to the high reason, you know, inspirational, always knowledgeable, you know.
All right, go ahead and talk to him. He's listening.
Bronco Knowledge.
Yeah, my brother, what's happening, bro?
That's a big brother. Yeah, man. That's a good thanks, you know. Such reason and knowledge and experience that they are sharing, you know. But it's always a fair way of listening, you know.
Yeah,
can't stop listening, yeah. Me.
It's good, man. I'm glad to hear you again still, too, you know.
Yeah, man.
I always glad to hear you, Fitzroy.
No, yeah, man. Every day, man. Every day, I'm going to take, man.
I like to get a laugh.
Well,
that we are talking about me
and Fridget. Most everything successful there, and in a bigger part of that, you know, when they're in France, so. I mean, you know, today I have
in France, I will still, because, like, the 7th or next month, we're going to do a show together in Montpellier, you know.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. Eh?
Yeah. No, I said, I saw to put the flyers and thing on the Facebook, you know.
Yeah, man, we had a show together.
I know, I love them. I said they had them out there at work and I carry the message to the next, you know, the people.
I
am
when I pick up about the bridges against the same from Garty, you see. Remember Garty, I said to you, say, man, get some connection with man, give you a number for give me and then me get no look
at Yeah, man. I think I get seen via Facebook too.
Need to go back for the program there because we'll talk about something where it wasn't finished. It's like an unfinished basic. Like we're talking about the communication and what we can do together to do something to our strength tone and thing. You know, and then we need about them communication. So, seeing if you have a number still, you can find something, we send it to my fan text on Facebook. We'll get a correspondent with him, you know.
Still
what me and him talk about. You know.
Yeah, man. The last we were talking to as well. I just mentioned before you came on the Trenchtown Dynasty and the Waterhouse Dynasty, and of course Bronco was kind of explaining a little bit. But I was saying also that I never knew the Waterhouse Dynasty really existed. All I knew was the Trenchtown Dynasty, and I know that you are from that area. Talk to us a little bit about what went on, how did Trenchtown and Waterhouse get connected?
Well, to what I have learned and the history that, you know, that I even learned from going around Blanco, going around Rima, and even not in growing up, just in my community, but going out, I learned that there was a time when, I think there was a flood, the 1951 storm, you know, where there was a migration of residents who moved from Trenchtown to Waterhouse. You know, my grandmother was one of those people. So, you know, and then you have like Garth Dennis and Ducky them come along, and, you know, they come and Jays, Errol Jays and Roddy Jays, because they were also Trenchtown people. And in my brother named King Weber, you know. So there was an influx of people from Trenchtown that had really come to Waterhouse, you know, that really create that transition, you know, which Pennant community was like a developed community, because I think we'd have house, you know, with even flush toilet, things that even some people never even see before. You know, Waterhouse was like a community. When you come there, it was like a man that said, well, uptown ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Waterhouse was like that, because we come to structured house and thing, and, you know, house with certain things even today. And then, you know, the music was very part of it, you know, and Trenchtown connection, because, you know, as Blanco can tell you, because Blanco's a bigger man for me, you know. So we still have to keep learning and learning from me with them, Dan Carlos, Garth, them, Ducky, them, the whole history and, you know, the truth. And that's all the reason connection go on. We, you know, come back, me and Jabez, you know, and I use them Donovan English, our Dean Scandal. We link now as youth, and then we start come and read and come link Blanco them. And the whole knowledge go on, and, you know, the connection, you know, the spiritual connection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in this present time, when we come and see now, I know the Trenchtown has an established dynasty where we see even eco-social tourism are going in Trenchtown.
Yes.
Where people come and visit Trenchtown, you know, bring tourists there, and, you know. But for Waterhouse, we have not seen that. You know, King Tubby has died, and even King Tubby's legacy is not even being preserved, because where King Tubby originates from, his home, people is living in. Because his daughter never, Tubby's have one daughter, you know, and she sell out all his legacy to strangers. But them don't preserve that history. You know, with the King Jamis come, you know, do his thing, but we really not see nothing. It's not institutionalized. Like what TV you are doing right now, Dr. F, like archive the thing. You're going Waterhouse, there are things that not even archive. You know? But if you still try to learn, I go check a man on the corner, I go check Mama Lead, who's an elder, if you try to learn and learn. And we, you know, as we said, the thing should be archive and institutionalize that in the coming generation can go look upon it physically and not, oh, this is where King Tubby's was. And so King Tubby's the icon, you know. And it's Trenchtown again, because you have man like Bonnie Lee and all his great man, you know, to come at a King Tubby's to come even give him that strength, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is how Waterhouse really developed. It's really Trenchtown. It's the epitome of our really development. When it comes to music, to the people, and, you know, the to what I have learned.
Wow. And I'm hearing from Bronco that the transition, or how the Waterhouse came about, is the displacement of some of those musicians over in Trenchtown that went over into Waterhouse. And then that built from there.
Yes, it's true. That's why I mentioned gentlemen like Errol Jays. Because Errol Jays and Roddy Jays, they were like the Jays. Because the Jays group was before even, the Jays group exists even before Black Hole, you know. Don Blanco.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jays is a popular group, you know, even before Black Hole, you know. Because, you know, I mean, I said, Schooner was also King Tubby's brother. You know, but true, I think Kuna went away, and all these gentlemen come from Trenchtown. You know, because it's Errol J. will come even Black Oro. You know,
Wow, wow. We got a lot of stuff to unravel. And the reason why this is important, because I think our history should be told to our people by our people, because we understand what somebody else might just, a little intonation means a hell of a lot. And this is so very important here, this particular moment, what we're trying to do to get the to get at least even an oral history here. And I mean, no other person better than Mr. Veronica Knowledge. And as I said, we're going to be getting Scully Sims, very, very shortly, to add to this knowledge base as well. Now, Bronco, tell me a little bit about Bob. I know we talk a little bit for a little bit more in depth, because eventually you got closer and closer.
I want to share something before Blanco. I want to share something significant as I mentioned Bob. Bob Marley came to Bob Marley endorsed Black Arena because Michael Rose record, a Bob Marley Natural Mystic. And the first Black Crow album recorded by King Jamis. Yeah, the natural mystic blow into, yeah. And I think Bob Marley came to visit Black Crow, the man, in a really, I was wondering who, I wish you them there sing them tune there. You understand? I think Bob came to White House come check Black Crow one time. Not really confirmed it, Ducky, but I think I learned that history there. So even Bob Marley, you know, really put a blessing upon the community. And it's ironic that Black Crow is the second biggest selling reggae group to Bob Marley.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hear you.
The Waterhouse Trenchstone connection is really it is tight.
I hear you. Now, Bronco, talk to us a little bit now. Getting a little bit older and really getting closer to Bob. Give me a little bit of history about that.
You see, and this says reason here of my version feature I tell about even that with Ducky Simpson. Yeah, I've seen the same kind of emotion because like even down on First Street, you have West Road and you have First Street. West Road is a main street you go from Spanish Town Road, Kirk Street up to 14th Street and the top of Trenchstone, where a jungle because Trenchstone is two partition. You have from 1st Street to 14th Street. You have one set of trench stones go from 1st to 7th. You continue from 7th, go to 8th, 19th, go to 14th Street. At the Town Academy. Well, right there again, West Road and 1st Street, which part Boo, and Boo and the man that live where Bob used to rest. That was the yard where Ducky Simpson and even Puma and even Michael Rose used to turn up into. A long while when Baba Rose did a jam in the corner, smoked chalice and go and get involved. So it's significant to us with year a mindful 13 to try it. So yeah, the adorance between Baba and even all. Them is in as Black Puro with Ducky them still is in, yeah. And then at the same time again the same year too. At the same year too you have this around the Wailing Soul and the man they will locate called Piper, the lead singer still mainly for Wailing Soul in the same yard living to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was a joy and an happiness amongst them. I even don't mind them a musician or a singer still. You know, in a them different we have the moon Mrs. Care. It was a love and a joy amongst all of the man them, you know, because the man them team up many times. You know. Seeing because like I tell you so now we always share things amongst each other. Like, it was a joy for man and man come together, run a boat, and then, you know, you play music and you eat together and you praise to Rastafari and you read the Bible and, you know, you give praises. And then, like I said, more singer again too. There was some legendary singer, you know, them 10 and them different category. They live near, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
See, like Johnny Clark, we live on top of 4th Street, yes, so. You see, Bob, them, they're down here, so. You see, Tata, up there, so. Joe's Road, this, you know, it's like a near a giant. You know, and again, to it's the same way when you come to the football playing again, to find, say, every Sunday morning, you have man will full up in the park, you have some different team of man, you see. Either we play six aside, or we are playing, you know, seeing 11 aside, same or thing like that. But always fun and laughter, you know, come to special on Sunday morning. You know, sometimes you have one where I play, I'll keep it up, and naturally football was just keeping up. And all the whole day, from the morning till the night, man, still I play keeping up. You know.
Wow.
You see, yeah, it was a joy. And I can remember the last few moments still with me and Bobby upon a natural physical impact. I can remember, and you know, after the peace concert and thing like that, and you know, and then it was going to be a match to the Tivoli Garden. But I can remember Bob come through at Churchtown, we massive dread and the wall away expert and the wall away big bird, and you know what I mean. One of a great baller named Herbert God with him Diego the trip on the side. And we're gonna Tivoli Garden, we're gonna play the Rude Boys, them sister Dr. E.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kite involved Claudia Moss up them, Jim Brown, Bayer and the wall of the top notch them, you know. With them look a follower still where they round them where are football and things like that. You know, we'll go yeah, I said them stipulated a dread, the house of dread. I call it the house of dread. See, we know the real, what was the real house of dread? We are player, the house of dread team, them time, but we are like a house of dread from Trenchtown.
Okay.
We are Trenchtown house of dread because all we are dread, like Bob come from Trenchtown, from First Street, go right back to 7th Street. You know what I mean? Man who can't play ball. And then we got Tip of the Garden, and it was a great match between we, like said, Rastaman against some dreadlocks against Barlet. Rastaman getting some youngster. And then we had Rastaman have smoked some kebab, some big bag of real gun sense to me. And we have smoked them, we don't feel good. And then, you know, them have smoked them at a different thing, but we don't care. We just go and smoke herb by the heel of the nation, you know what I'm saying? You know, I go and give them a lot of inspiration and good vibration to play the match. And however, it happens that we have them five love, Dr. Eve. We have the Rude Boy, them five love. God must have them and Jim Brown, them and whatever. We have them five love.
Hmm.
Bob Marley scored the first goal. Herbert Gunn scored the second goal. Bob Marley scored the third goal. Me scored the fourth goal. Master just scored the fifth goal. It was like that. It was a joy. I can't remember the last moment of Jim Bob. It was a surprise to me when I'm going to tell you, boy, yeah, Bob dropped up on stage and have cancer.
Wow.
And did something foot and did something toe because it was shortly after that. Because them time the Baba kick ball and that goal so hard. It's so surprised to me when him say, yeah, him have cancer and then him die from cancer because at the year before that we have played some solid football and Baba scored them two goals after him left foot like a can and then we kick it past the goal, his goal and then switch past the pigeon, the ball each up, you know. You know what I mean? And the younger person, I was so happy in that the younger person break the six love with for the man, the younger Tivoli Garden, the team where we are playing. Is the man who was the producer for me and for all our real knowledge. It was Tapazuki.
Wow.
True Tapazuki, my younger ballad right now. And then he said, nah, he never permitted to play power side because it was a ballad against a dreadlock thing. You see? He was the only one then where I was probably in a trench zone who played on the ball at them side, played for the Tivoli Garden man them side. And he was the one who lucky to score a goal for the Tivoli Garden man them. And all because the defense who played on one side, one just pile him to make him look stupid. And eventually the ball dropped on him and headed past over a goalie. And the match ended up 5-1.
Wow.
Yeah, at 6-0, we really, really want to give them. We want to give them 6-0. That was the last moment that we and Bob playing football together. It was joy, and it was such happiness.
So, I mean, when Bob Seamstool was getting to this stardom, he was still coming forward to Trenchtown and connecting with you guys?
Yeah, man, Bob does that now. Bob is start because what really happened, you know, you see, even Bob still sings there. Trenchtown Rock, you know, don't watch that. No, Trenchtown Rock. You know, I give the slum a try. Trenchtown Rock, never let the children cry. Trenchtown Rock, you know, I got to tell Jaja why groove in his Kingston to us. You know, him know where him get from Trenchtown and him go to Trenchtown, you understand? And then, what him that really like do for Trenchtown still, and if you know that, him, unfortunately, him don't get to do it for Trenchtown. I know even where he is right now, him still feel grieved with himself, and you know, so him still don't get to manifest, so. The joy and the happiness and the sharing of niceness, you know, in Trenchtown, that was good. You know, sufferation and, you know, getting the experience here, yeah, that was good. But the part now, right now, when him starts, you know, achieve up from the experience when getting a trench tone, and then the experience of the music and the strength of the music, and start gain back certain things on the music, and then to do back something with trench tone, he didn't get a chance to do such for trench tone in the time that, you know, we don't see the natural nature no more. You know, you see, we can hear the music, we can have the remembrance, yeah, but just seeming natural fresh, we don't see the natural fresh no more. Because of the time that them tried to test, yeah, it passed away in 1981. You know what I mean? I can still remember before him go up on this tour, you know, the whole way they put walk through, and I can hear me. They say, knowledge, massive dread, and a trench town tour, this and that, you see. Because I say, yeah, I'm like a wood for move and do a lot of things for a lot of different people. No, a trench town tour is beneath you, I do something for trench town, no, and then. And that's the time and time we lose, you know. Yeah.
But let's go, probably, I mean, we can only speculate. And as you definitely say, he there was somewhere along the line that trench tone was on his mind. What he would do, we certainly probably wouldn't know exactly what direction that would take. We have a lot of disgruntled folks out there and saying that really the majority of time was spent there in trench tone. Why did he make provision so that, well, 35 year old is not somebody who is thinking to die anytime soon. And as they arrest a man that don't come into this period, I guess, based on how the religion of the Rasta man is. So is it that, again, Bob wasn't foreseeing the business side of it? And because everybody usually cook and everybody give what they have when they have, nobody probably would have thought that this would have taken the direction where things now become business. And we all know when you're alive and you have your money and you're doing things, things go how you want it. But the minute you die and somebody has taken over, is a whole different ballgame. It don't matter who it is a whole different ballgame. It seems like Bob was not really thinking the amount of people that supposedly that he would have helped. None of these people are taken care of, or there is any kind of a documentation for them to be cared for. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, go over that again, this from the last part.
Yeah, what I'm saying, it seems like there was no provision, no documentation. Although you heard, there are a lot of people who attest and say, well, if Bob was around, a lot of people would have been cared for. But to me, it seems like maybe because of our Rasta live, our Jamaican people live, we just go on, we don't document anything, we don't have contracts. We just,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, there was no, so to speak, there was no documentation, you know. Like, for instance, a similarity, like, for instance, say, then you have a will. And, you know, for instance, you know, a person, then him set away and him a pastor and make a will, say, such person achieved this from this will. They're from a documentation like that. Then that's why then even if my pastor with this and that the trench tone, and so that someone can categorize and think of, say, well, this was done in the documentation for doing something for trench tone. Yeah, there was no documentation like that.
And then we have lost a lot. I mean, we can only suspect that he might really come back and do something. But the Bob Marley estate, and I know we're going treading in some deep waters here, the Bob Marley estate is a humongous estate. Why is not there a Bob Marley center, a Bob Marley really support center in Trenchtown? I know I'm just asking, we're just speculating here. Why is the Bamali Foundation not put something like this? I mean, I know that there are little small things here and there, but we're talking about a humongous presence.
Same question I would have asked in France. They would say pourquoi?
Pourquoi?
That mean why, but you know, I would ask the same question. But still then, you know, I haven't find the answer for myself, because like a song said, the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Sometimes I write question off, and then sometimes the question is supposed to be the answer. It just so like something that is blowing in the wind. That's the right question you ask, and then, you know what I mean, it need a positive and a real constructive answer, you know, without solid foundation. But if me have to ask the same question, why? Yeah, because there's so many good things that can be done under them circumstances, and yet still, it has not been done.
Because, and Mindful, you can link in here too as well. I am saying, if the entire world knows where Bob Marley, the origination of this music, and maybe we're not emotional, when it comes to money involving, we get business-like, especially if other people have to deal with it. Because I would look, based on the history that you're telling me, based on the history that everybody else is telling, there are a lot of people involved at the ground, the foundation of Bob Marley becoming Bob Marley. A lot of people gave their time, gave their talent, gave their effort, their friendship, their caring, and everything, and I guess everything else in between. If we are a loving, wonderful people, and if we are thinking in a way, don't the people now who controls the foundation knows what these people do? And I'm sure a lot of these people are echoing in their ears, hey, I was supposed to get this and I don't get that. Why is the foundation not sympathetic to give forward something tangible in this area?
Well, it's more than word can say, still another guy. I say a lot of people, as Blanco can tell, the Bob Marley estate is not even run by his family. Or not even by the one who... A lot of things Bob Marley would really say he was going to do, and it might not be documented on paper. I've never signed a will. But Bob Art, come to my knowledge and what I learned, because I'm trying to learn things of him different from what people say. And Mr. Weir is a bridge in where... For humanity, you know, him couldn't really serve all the people that were around him. But in the people that were around him, musicians and a lot of them, probably if they were even a little way, maybe that's a careful little.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe them would have done things to even help Bob do a lot of things that even we talking about today. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because you listen to Bob Marley interviewing him, speak about Trenchtown, speak about him owning him on studio. He didn't even go to the test for him to say, when am I working, I forget there. Because now when Ziggy get big, Ziggy say, God give him a chance. And so Bobby, that man, he'd have a vision when it comes to material things. I know, say, the struggle with Rasta fears, that it give him time, say, God give him the opportunity to have these things. And he'd really have a vision, you know, say, he can institutionalize certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can speak about it, say, boy, that's a pay man for go to a studio, a man they want to come to our studio, them studios, so we have to have our own studio.
Mm-hmm.
So I envision a lot of things, you know, say, owning our own things, as Marcus Garvey said, control our industry and commerce. But we have that vision.
Mm-hmm. Do you think
I don't think a lot of the brothers and sisters around him did have that same vision, you know?
Do you think, though, basically what you're saying, this is really confusing now. Do you think, though...
All right. Remember Blanco, you know? Remember Blanco, so Blanco there, Bob Marley tell Blanco them things where true Bob did it not continue. But Blanco can know, so Bob did mean it.
What I'm saying to you, what my question is, Bob, before Bob passed on, Bob had money. Why didn't he? He was just at this point decide after he set up himself that he was when he was quite well and good that time. Now, okay, the place where he started from. Let me go back now and help them rather than help them because this was in the first place, because this was where he got his start from. But I am
no,
not,
I'm wondering,
politics should not stop you from making sure that your mama take care of.
It was BNP, Blanco Cantella said, the PNP liberal thing in that era of time. That's why Barbada, you know, a lot of things that them suppress. Barbada has art, I know that. even we suffer those things too, you know, coming from a Waters community. Even our great musicians, them not really established nothing. And them even more came back cursed today than even Bob.
Here the question. Even when Bob was alive, did he control his money? Because to me, although
I don't think Bob would have a control on the money where he have. I can't assume about what we think. I don't think Bob would really have the control of that money. In a position to do what he want, different from maybe poor money or some money where he direct. You know what I'm saying? Because Bobby that fight has struggled with Chris Blackwell, you know. Ireland record for come out of a contract where, you know, it's kind of technical.
That fight has struggled, a serious struggle. Okay, all right. So then
financial money for really, you know, say fix up Trenchstone as well, I'd want, and but I may really have the art.
Okay. But what I'm saying, go back to the question now. It is the same problem I have, and I don't know, maybe I'm talking ahead of myself. All of the musicians that can boast that they're Alpha Boy, they came through Alpha Boys. Where have those musicians created a monument or made the contribution? And these are a lot of these musicians, they are not two penny strapped. Why is not there an organization with all of the Jamaican great musicians to go back to Boys, Alpha Boys Home, and really expand Alpha Boys Home? If this is the situation, are we looking at a generation of people who don't care to give back anything?
Well, the question that's asked all the time in that. I can remember 1989, they had a brother named Desmond Young, Mr. Desmond Young. He came out to Castro Brown, Union Music. I was just a salesman then. And he talked about the Jamaica Federation of Musicians to protect artists going on stage. And 99% of the musicians in Jamaica, they even support it. A lot of things, even intellectual copyrights. Last night I was listening to Derek Harriott. And if you listen to Derek Harriott's reason, you can know that this man is a businessman, you know. Even that it's a musician or singer, you know. He needs a distribution, he's still own music. So he understands, you know, so yeah. Once you get the business right, you make your copyright your music, and you need your publishing accordingly. One day you can achieve from it, you know. I was struggling through that over and over, where even today, reality, all the music, great musicians exist, who is suffering and not. And yet still, we don't have an organization in Jamaica.
Well, I tried.
We have a central organization where responds to everybody.
I tried to contact them the other day. I did try to contact them the other day because I was really pushing to really see if we can get folks together. And of course, we don't. Nobody in the music business care to have any kind of getting together. We just get up and we talk that. But the majority of people who should get together, everybody just want to get out and do their own thing, and everybody start to do the, and disperse. And none of them have enough strength to withstand the times. We need to, I've said this so much, we need to get together, we need to stick together, rather than people having an attitude and everybody going and doing this little tiny bit here, and this. No corporation in this country, nor in any country, is built up like that. Microsoft, Google, everybody got together in thick and in thin, and personality or not personality, and everybody got together till every single person in Google is a multi-trillion millionaire over and over. We cannot do this. Everybody has to start, I mean, their little thing, because this person says this and this person says that. And what happened? We weaken the old thing and nobody wins. In Jamaica, there's only one person, it seems to me, that ever gave back anything tangible to Jamaica. Is Shaggy. And Shaggy just started his thing a couple of years ago. There is nobody in the music industry from Alpha Boy School who has get out and make probably set up some dormitory. They are singing across the world. You interview them and they can tell you that they got this from that. Even us here, Rula Brand started the palace thing just to get one musician to give $10 or individual to give a couple of dollars toward the scholarship. They would never give it. And yet still, this radio station, his radio station, support their music. We look at Trenchtown. We look at all the great people that comes out of Trenchtown. Some of them are not multimillionaire. Some of them are not even half there. What have they, since we talk about the foundation, and this is what gave us what we have gotten, how many of them turned their back and gone back into Trenchtown and really make a model citizen and say, you know what, I'm going to even give Christmas time, I'm going to get the little young children, them who are aspire to be a musician, and everybody, give everybody a little drum, or six of them a little drum. Or we have the Trenchtown Reading Center, who is set up by a foreigner. How many musicians who came from Trenchtown sent two books to that organization? And when I say this, we have to look into ourselves. If our country and our big legacy of music is supposed to be strengthened and continued, we have to really strengthen the foundation, continue to strengthen the foundation. I don't know what the Bob Marley Foundation, and I'm not talking about anybody. I am just talking truth, because normally when you speak truth, people get offended. But I think a lot of times we must stop getting offended and look at where the truth lies, so we can really do something that is going to help everybody. We as a people are not doing enough. I just think we're not doing enough, period.
Well, Blanco can read upon the Trenchtown side, right? I know, because I know you have Ziggy them, you have the Marley, so it's a whole lot of people need to come together for me. Trenchtown things work, you know? Because Trenchtown is a pyramid, you know?
Well, this is the thing. We sing about that in the music about unity, but we're not united at all. Everybody else is united around monetizing reggae music, but the majority of folks who are supposed to be really getting the book, we're not united even to have an organization that speaks for the musician. We're not united in giving back to the community that helps us to get where we are. We would rather get connected with everybody else other than ourselves. We don't unite to form a solid foundation. Everybody just want to go off and do their own thing. And we all eventually in a year or 2 years, everything just go, oh, where is this again? They under, they fold. It's like everybody is run jostling against each other rather than trying to find a solution. This is the whole thing. This is the thing. Go ahead, Bronco. Why are you laughing?
No, just two events and both the run jostling and things like that.
In a long time.
Bodies and, you know, against each other. And then I start looking at the two-way and the thing, you know, why I started to laugh, because first it's based upon an issue like the surrounding that trench and the time they look on it is like a bag of crab, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, each crab want to get upon the top, forget out, and then the next crab I try him down back inside of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And even still, if one and two crab do get over the bag and then get to escape and then...
run down!
And get a chance to run away. He don't try to travel back the road, them travel to run away.
Heck no.
Well, like some people know, you have a long time setting where our peer four parents said to us then the man who shit a bush, remember it. Step in it.
Yes.
You know, and then you have all burning spirits sing a tune again to say, I always remember the road that I roots I will never forget. I will always remember the road I travel. What is life like that? You see. You have the road enough people travel like Trenchtown and them things they've seen. Them don't remember the road they travel, you know. Them don't remember that Trenchtown them come from. And when you see them and them talk, it's like Trenchtown never did exist.
Yes.
Well, them, you understand me?
Yes.
And pay attention, like, you know, the surround that Trenchtown itself is like, just like it's the people, you know, you have other people always after each other. You know what I mean? People always watch people, too much watchy, too much so. You know what I mean? You see, you don't have no privacy, you don't have the people just into other people's business. So you don't have no full communication and a full unification amongst the people. I mean, it's all based upon bad mind and grudgeful thing and who want this to show up from this,
mm-hmm.
and want this to show up from that. And the real order of full communication to being together and make some things happen genuine for each other.
Yes.
It is not there.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then, like, some people get to go to Trenchtown and get the knowledge and understanding and leave with a Trenchtown and come, you know, improve on what the knowledge they know are, what they achieve. They don't pay back no, you know,
mm-hmm.
no former Jews towards them get to the place that they get those experience
mm-hmm.
and those knowledge for, you know, seeing. So it really happened like that. And although this unification still caused the ghetto to suffer.
Yes.
Because, for instance, then it will bear some fruits where it will grow some roots, and then when the fruits bear it, it's like it now, it will support which part it grew, you know, or you understand?
Yes.
You know, no form of substance, no form of necessary, no form of help, no form of support to the place where it grew.
Absolutely, absolutely. Here is what I'm looking at also. We need to make, and I'm not saying, I know there are musicians who do a little here and there, and every time you can do something is a lot. But in terms of preserving exactly what makes this country as big as it is, we need to have something really tangible. We need to have something tangible in order that generation can come through. You know, if you need this going and preparing a place for each other that somebody else can go through it. When you look at Trenchtown right now, because, you know, I started to do my little thing in Trenchtown, and, I mean, it was just myself alone, and it felt on not too good a ground, and I'm starting over. As a matter of fact, I'm making another connection and starting over.
Yes.
Hopefully that this one will work this time.
Yes.
I'm from Trenchtown, but my connection to my country It is so important, just like how my connection with the basic school, I don't grow up in Spanish Town. My connection with the scholarship, my connection with my country, that know that whoever I am, I am trying to do a little bit because I'm struggling myself, right?
Yep.
I look at Trench Town and the people that have made the biggest impact in Trench Town are not people like myself.
Mm-hmm.
Trench Town Reading Center is what, 23 years in that community. And it's not somebody like me who has lived in Jamaica and enjoy who Jamaica is that builds that up. There is a new record company that is being built. It is not somebody like me who has lived in Jamaica and enjoyed Jamaica who has built that.
Even the Trenchtown Reading Center, so to speak, you know, because it's one and two. People can't talk like Omi talk. A lot of people can't talk like Omi talk for all the 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the support you have the person who's really then stand strong behind that Trenchtown Reading Center.
Mm-hmm.
She don't just represent, you know, she's just a representative of it, definitely. But the foundation of building the Reading Center, foundation of building that Reading Center, come to a man like all me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a personal individual. I have to build that block by block, like mixing mortar,
Yes. Been
borrow with cement, to build that reading center.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the last part I hit in this time now, within those 13 years I live, trenched on the Bob Marley culture, where the young deer and things like that. Welfare development, gonna go and find other different place, but I can't talk about the main foundation of that reading center and how we build it, you know.
Yeah, well, of course I know that.
And then Roslyn, now she's a representative, you know.
Yeah.
Roslyn from Canada.
What?
She's representative of that reading center because she's the one that still go through the world trying to get contribution towards a reading center,
mm-hmm.
you know, anything like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Certainly, and of course the community did come when she put everything together and the idea and build it, and the community came and helped. But what I'm saying, even the idea to get this, I mean, I have interviewed Roslyn, I think about two times. And one of the hardest things she says, you know what, for people to give a little book to the center. And the people who contribute books to the center are not somebody like myself, who is from Jamaica, the majority of it.
No, the majority come from like a charity basic from different country, different places.
Mm-hmm.
You see, enough of that don't come from Jamaica, you know what I mean?
Not Jamaica, I'm saying even people here abroad, you know, who know about the center, they don't send down a barrel of books or a donation annually to support the center.
You understand, yeah. I understand, yeah.
And what
people really have the right to do that and should be really glad to do that.
But I am trying to...
For them to also, yes, out there, whether like in America, they can be in England, they can be in Canada, Germany, you know, New Zealand, Australia, whatever, you know, I can't do it, a branch of. What are those people still, so to speak? They come from Trenchtown.
Ah.
They are just surrounded where them can't get books and things like that and make it their contribution to us, you know, like, and instead of like in a charity to, you know, to contribute to our Trenchtown Reading Center. But still they don't have us in mind. They don't make no effort towards that. They don't do anything like that. You know, so I do understand where you are, you know. You have people really like those, you know. They just don't care.
And what I'm saying to us, we have a legacy. And I think it should get to a point that we don't have to, it's just like I'm trying to create here. Let us create our own history. Most of the books that are written about our history, we don't write them. Very few of us write anything about our own history. Somebody else has to come in and do that. It's always we leave it up to somebody else all the time. What I am saying, even if we have the idea, we can get support, but we're not even having the idea to go forward and build back anything. As you're saying, it is so difficult to get out of the barrel that once you get out of the barrel, you want to run the heck out of there and never, ever look back. I think it's time for us to change that now. And because this is still going on, we dilute ourselves. So the two of us who get escaped, we find other people other than ourselves to get attached to, because we are afraid of anybody that looks like us. So we don't want to be in business with each other. We don't want to associate with each other, just in case. So we find other people, and people are people all over the world. Sometimes some of us do get crushed worse with other people than even the crab in the barrel we were getting. But a lot of us can't even say anything. My whole saying about this is reaching out to each other and stop being afraid of each other. We have a small little country. For those of us who escaped the barrel, so to speak, let us try in our own little way to give forward, because we are only giving back to ourselves. Since a lot of us want to go back at one time or the other, we're building the foundation still. Those of us are on this side, we need to truly try and get together. It is no sense reinventing the wheel that we're having so much spokes and it's being broken down. Try and see if we can find a way of working together and strengthening ourselves. There is no Jamaican organization that is strong and powerful that is representing the mega $1 billion of reggae music. One other thing about it, we're talking about radio. There is not a reggae music radio station. We don't have a good reggae music other than the pirate stations, them, that lucky thing for internet. A lot of the reggae stations them out there are being pirated, so everybody has to be looking over their shoulder. And when the government come and knock them down, then they, you know, that person regroup and they go on. We cannot build anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's going to happen? Even us on the internet station, every day, instead of people getting together and say, you know what, let us form a real strong internet station that really we can have a 24-hour, like a Black Talk platform, the whole world can come on it and do something. No, every single person, every day, they form another station. And I have seen so much of them in the 3 years I've gone, form a station, and in no time, they just drop flat on their back. Why can't we not come together, form a station, get a platform where everybody put on $1 or $2, and everybody, whether it's 50 of us or 100 of us, and really form something strong so we have a reggae platform where our people can truly benefit. You know what's going to happen, Bronco? What is going to happen shortly? Somebody, not of anybody like myself or you, somebody is going to come and they're going to form a reggae radio station. Believe you me, that is going to happen pretty soon. And everybody who has their little one thing, we're going to fall off, because all of these copyrights and all of these rights and stuff, because most everybody having a radio station is a pirate radio station too. And people don't know that you have to have license to run your station and play people music still. You know, it's still piracy. So somebody is going to know that this is a great big market that is on top. And nobody, Mark Cuban, sell his little sports station for how much? $150 million? And he could have bought the Maverick or wherever he bought. Somebody's going to buy out the reggae radio dynasty as well. And it's not going to be one of us, because we are not together. We don't support each other, so, but we'd rather somebody step in and do that, and it is going to happen. Unfortunately, it is going to happen, and we are going to be left out again, and we are going to have to be supporting that person thing rather than we supporting our thing. We're going to lose out.
I like that many times, Dr. Eve. The carelessness of people and the reluctance of people enough time make things happen like that. The reluctancy of people enough time and go along with the carelessness of people enough time and not paying attention to the writing. Yes. Make things happen like that sometime, It's like you have some things and you don't know the use of it until it's gone, And when somebody else, the thing in front of your eyes where you can't even approach it with unity, because unity has strength with good communication and, make something happen. You don't. No one don't. No one pay attention. And then someone else come inside now and, start do what they're supposed to do. And then the thing starts shine. Then it starts being real and bad mind and said, yeah, the thing was there a long time. Yeah. But it was there a long time. What did you do? What kind of move you make towards it? What kind of approach? You don't make no approach. You make no move towards it. And then you ignore it. But you're telling someone come inside and try to do something good about it, and it starts to prosperous and look like it will shine. Then come enviousness, Mr. Enviousness, and Mr. Grief, and Mr. Bad Mind.
Yes, yes. Just reading, I'm just able to go into my chat room here now. Reading from one of my great, great friends here, I ate one first. You have to give you a little one. He says that the fees that ASCAP forces station to pay just goes to the elite Jews, and another adjective is there, in the recording industry before it benefits the musician. Now, listen, when we look at how a lot of musicians have been scaved out of their money, and a lot of musicians who have gold records and people sitting with gold nose and gold teeth and gold toilet seat, and these people are sitting begging in Jamaica at their demise. People have to collect money in order to bury them decently or ask decently. And until this day, we cannot see that, and we cannot understand who control ASCAP, who control all of these industries, the lawyers who are trying to get the monies that is being robbed by X persons somewhere, is another person, and thank God for them too, is not we, our people, our lawyers trying to get these money. It's somebody else who is going to charge you 60% or 40% of your money. So in every single way, we are blocking ourselves out of this business. And when you have persons like myself who get up and try to really speak on this, you get a really lot of hateful people. And they get out there, they start to do their own thing, they fall on their own sword, and no strength, no unity. Somebody else say, hey, you know what? Man, let me just get up and start this. And we have to go back to the slave mentality, have to bow down to these people and pay them dues. And we cannot do it for ourselves. We will never do it for ourselves. We cannot do it for ourselves because we hate ourselves and we don't want to see ourselves succeed. Simple as that. If you have a person like myself who is doing something and is succeeding, everybody turn against you. You don't get our own people to support your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
What kind of a mentality do we have? And we turn, listen, we hear Snoop Dogg and Eddie Murphy just come out. Snoop Dogg get nominated for the first time in a couple of reggae music, nominated for a Grammy in the reggae category. The man do his things well. He put out a music. Eddie Murphy and all of them put out a music. Boom, it goes on the chart. These people are seeing what the value of reggae music, and they put their mouth and their money, and they produce and they organize their thing. They don't sing about woman cock up and skin out, let me push this down into you. They sing good lyrics that the whole world can embrace. And the Grammy, I want to know which artist was going to say lyrics, woman cock up, let me jam this into you on a Grammy winning thing. We don't care about that. We just care to denigrate our woman worse than what, this is worse than slavery. And if I talk or somebody else like me talk, you get hate mail, you people stop, well, you say, I'm not going to listen to her and they spread your name. You know, for me, it don't really matter because I'll be here, you know, like a thorn. Like a thorn. But this is how our majority of us, and we cannot just say one and two of us are trying to do something. That's not acceptable. We as a nation should be protecting our wealth. As Jamaica being out there, the amount of money that is up there going in terms of the music, Jamaica industry is music. That's what catapulted Jamaica on the map, is music. And everybody, the biggest music festival in the world, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, as much as you count, is not held in Jamaica. Why are we sitting down and cussing about Snoop Dogg really singing and getting a Grammy? We're not doing anything. We're sitting about talking about under our woman.
Even as you were saying that, we are not even supporting each other. The Grammy is a thing that requires voting, you know. And even lot of us in the industry, we don't really register ourselves for the Grammy. We have to register. It's a process, you know.
I know that.
Even you have a reggae album, you can submit your own song album. You can get people to vote for it. But sometimes we don't even support the own. So the industry people who have their artists, they vote for them. They nominate for the Grammy, and you know, and they have their support.
Exactly what I am saying.
That we don't, you know.
Exactly what I am saying, brother. If we were what this industry is all about, and we cared, we would have had an organization representing us at the Grammy. We would have had a seat like country music, jazz, every other thing. As a matter of fact, we are pioneer. We don't necessarily need the Grammy. We don't have a big red carpet organization. Everybody go.
The Grammy is an American award, you know, that acknowledges our music. You're right.
I know that. Whatever award it is, if we get on the Grammy, if we are nominated on the Grammy, that is more visibility for the music. More visibility for the music. Country music have their Red Carpet Award. Grammy music, all kind of music have their award. We are strong enough to have our own award, but we are not together.
It's award like the IRAMA award, and they are not even up to date. You know, most of our radio Grammy award, they are not highlighted, they are not televised, nothing like that.
Well, they just run a ticker tape when, if Bob Marley was to be nominated, run a ticker tape. We're not represented on stage because, you know what? Because we are not important. Not yet. Until a Snoop Dogg buy out and start to run a reggae industry. And then we have to be hopping like a little one-foot puppy behind them. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen.
Where Branko live right now, you know, is the capital of reggae in France, you know. I can't tell anybody that.
Okay.
Everybody will go to reggae France right now. Can't tell a man. So when you go to France, reggae, real good reggae music.
And who is that's playing it? Who is playing it?
No.
Who is playing it? Who is playing this reggae music?
Jamaican. Non-Jamaican.
Okay, thank you.
Non-Jamaican, you know.
So, I mean, what can we do about that? This is what the question is asked. What are we going to do about that? What can we do about that? Do we really want to do anything about it? I mean, are we satisfied?
Some people do and some people don't, you know?
Are we just satisfied like me here, just beating up my gum all the time and creating enemies rather than somebody call me up and say, hey, Dr. F, you know what? Let us get together and do X and Y. No, it doesn't happen.
Some people want to play the music, you know, but it's not even about the music, right? It's about the business of the music. It's
okay.
One the other person in the, on internet radar, really. I hear really advocate and agitate night and day. A lot of people, they are hypocrites, you know? And we all know that. You know, they want to play the music and talk about conscious reggae and roots reggae, but the business of the music is not a church or a political platform. And even Derek Arriott, he said something last night. He said, whether you register or not, they are the industry player who will make money from your music.
Yes.
They don't, you understand? And I know that. I make a quote the other day about that, you know. You know? I know you have Upscap, you have BMI, you have all the majors, because sometimes prefer to register with them and know that you're getting a crumbs more than getting nothing at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, we must stop settle. We should stop settle now. We have smart people. We should stop settling for crumbs and set up a strong organization that we get everything that we deserve.
In Jamaica, you have JCAP, the Jamaica Art and Composer for reggae music. And yet a lot of artists don't believe in JCAP. They don't register because you have to become a member and you have to pay a fee.
Okay.
Once it comes to paying for someone to administer, then people like them become neglectful. They don't want to do that. And JCAP is a thing that collects money, supposed to collect royalties from radio station, just like Sound Exchange. Sound Exchange, that's our dear thing of folks that want to register, they collect from the majors or whatever, you know, or try conjure money from wherever your music is playing. But it's not united, again. You know, it's just like internet radio. Everybody wants to do their own thing instead of centralized and, you know, set up time and streams and programs that everybody does have a one, have a principle. You know,
Listen, can you imagine if we had a reggae central platform, how powerful that would be?
Yeah, it would be great.
Wow.
And that, this is the way all we can really get a reggae music, it recording.
Absolutely.
Like if you have 100 record reggae radio, and that 100 reggae radio are right, we're going to feature these songs.
Uh-huh.
At certain time in power plays, and that is how a song gonna become a massive hit, you know.
You better believe it.
You know, that centralization is what create that. And that was what happened before. You have RGR play one tune, and everybody if you have 10 radio man, each man got each individual gonna come play that same song. So that song become a part of your psyche, every minute, every second. You know. No, it's not like that because the radio station, as what I say, they are not united and everybody have their own farm and everybody playing what they want or, you know, what they... It's not centralized.
And nobody's getting anywhere. Mm-hmm. Nobody's getting anywhere. I think everybody, most of the musicians, boy, wants me to get little something for eat. Me don't care about nobody else.
Yeah, there are a lot of things in that way. A man just care for himself, you know. Because, well, if a man... sign out, you know, as a, what the word name? Insecurity, or what name? When you sign a paper, and when you realize you're signing away your rights.
Oh, goodness. Just say it not too long ago. I hope I remember it.
A lot of musicians go through that, you know. Even Bonnie Lee, the other day, Striker Lee was really talking about that. The boy sometimes go England and sign a £200 on a blank check, blank paper, and then him go back. Sign out all them rights.
Impaturity.
That is that thing that the industry suffer from. Because even now, a lot of men never even envision that you're going to have CDs and, you know, synchronization of music and films and things. So when you sign that, you sign away all these rights, a man still can use your music in flames and you don't get no rights from it because you already signed it away. And then whenever we got enough with lawyers to read away to protect the artist, you know, a lawyer always protect the interest of the business because it's all about the business. If you give away your right to signature, well, you know, there's not much a lawyer can do more than, you know.
And I think this is getting more complicated. Although you know exactly what's out, it's getting more complicated that a lot more rights are going to give out, because I see a pattern. I see a real pattern, and I see more and more we're going to be having more losses. Some people will get a little, but we're going to have more losses even than when we just started out in this music business, because I think that there are certain people who are feeding on the fact that a culture, they're thinking of a Jamaican culture, young artists, them poor, they don't have any sense, they can't read, they can't write, they don't understand with culture, they blah, blah. You only have to just show them a couple of, a little thing, give them a Hennessy or something and make them sign their life away, just like that. They're not even going to be able to get their, sign their life away, because you can just send somebody a track, they go into the station and voice it. You never see this person who is sending you the track. The minute you voice your track, that track, or put the whole thing together, send it back to them, that's the end of your relationship with them. A lot of this is going on, and a lot more is going to be going on. A lot more is going to be going on. Bronco?
Well, yeah, you're right. No.
Mm-hmm. Bronco, are you there? Hey, Bronco. I think we have lost Bronco. Are you still there, Bronco? I think Bronco went to sleep. Bronco, you're sleeping. It's like 4 a.m. in the morning, you know. I think he's still on, but he's sleeping. Bronco, I mean, we're going to be getting off here shortly. I just wanted you to just have a few words before you go.
Oh, Bronco, see, I can jump asleep.
Jump asleep.
Oh, let's cut off or something, you know. But big up yourself, Bronco, my entire family.
Let me play a tune and come back, and then we close the show. Let me play a tune and come back.
Hello?
Blanco?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yes, Blanco.
I'm not hearing you.
I think you went out to sleep.
No.
Tell us where we're about to close the show down. Wonderful, wonderful conversation. I just so enjoy speaking to you. I have so much wisdom coming to me when I speak to you. And, of course, you have a whole hell of a lot of history.
Yeah.
Tell us where we can find you in a couple of, I know you're talking about December 7th, not too long from now. When the shows are coming up, where are they going to be?
Well, in correspondence, in the communication with us, from me and you or from my wife, then we'll post you information, you know, of where the show, when the show is going to come up and where the show is going to be. You know, we'll brief you information on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you can be aware of what I am doing still.
All right. I know you're coming up with some album coming out. When are they due to be released?
What happened? I'm planning on finishing doing up this album now by, you know, early next year. Then maybe next 2 months after, then I will get it in connection to release it.
Okay. Any show planned up out of France?
Yeah, we have some in and out thing, like some good communication with some people in Finland and Sweden, you know, to do some show in Germany. We are making link, you know, in those different country people who love the music, hear the music, and then setting up connection for we to have some dates to do some concert there, you know.
Oh, nice man. Oh, wonderful. I mean, just before you go, Blanco, when we look at reggae music and, you know, most of the veteran foundation members still have this great opportunity to go out there and sing, you know, it is just such a wonderful, wonderful, warm feeling for me. I'm sure this has to be a wonderful feeling for you too, to know that you still, if once you can still hold the mic, you still have an audience.
Yes, yeah, a wonderful feeling, yeah. Once you can hold them, I don't mean all on it might take, and don't care how prevalent it might be, like, you know, how regular it may be for you to do so. You know, in this time when you do know you have the ability to still hold the mic and then still get that recognition still from people, you know, it's still worthwhile, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's still worthwhile, you know. It's good.
I'm Mighty Fool, the big number one producer in all of New York. I know you have a word or two.
Yeah, man, well, I just want to tell Blanco, you know, keep up the good work, as I'm always, I do from here since I did, you know, because the money never changed, you know. You never did the work with mother today, so, you know, more strength and, you know, the whole Trenchstone dynasty. And, you know, we say, well,
thank you, my brother.
Yeah, man. Big up Colette, too, and, you know, as I'm going to bless up all of that on the next bridge, you know, up on the road.
And same for you, my brother, man.
Yeah, man. We give thanks, man. And yeah, it's always a pleasure being on the Caribbean Radio Show. Not a state and where the truth reveal. And, you know, it's always a pleasure being with Dr. Evers. You know, the fire queen. You know, the struggle
yeah,
that you're fighting.
It's a pleasure for
you
me.
You know, that's why she's the one and only, the illustrious one, you know. That's why my best player up on her. He looks just one and one. Because I don't think he can have a next lady like Dr. Ev. The music. The intellectual property right and the business of the music. Some people defend the music, you know. But it's the intellectual property right of the music. Trust me. Salute Dr. Ev for that, openly.
Yeah, man, you have to bless her up, man. And God, you have bless her, you know, so you have to bless her up, too, you know, because. Yeah, I call. I didn't call.
And Dr. Evers, you talk about. China Nicole is supposed to talk to you because, you know, the radio personality and this Waterhouse Reggae Dinosaur radio, she really take it in on and tell her to have a radio stream through the Caribbean radio show and she really endorsed that.
I saw you sing out this evening.
Yeah, man. She's the manager. Well, she's the CFO, you know. Chief Financial Organizer for that, you know. I mean, I don't see you, so tell her if I consult you, because I know anything mighty full turtle that towards the Reggae Waters dynasty of involved the Caribbean radio show.
Well, that's where it started. The dynasty started over here, right?
That's the home. It is the home of the Mighty Full 13 and the Waters Reggae Dynasty. Caribbean Radio Show is, no doubt.
Wow.
No doubt.
Well, bless up, man. I know that.
It's all about unity, man. You know, we all have to keep the unity together, that, man, you know. We have to struggle with who, you know, carry the struggles, you know. And right now, we carry the radio show. Yeah, man. Continuation. Never stop.
Yeah, man. God bless. God bless for such an inspiration and such an encouragement, you know.
Yes.
You know, from the Caribbean radio station. And bless. God bless all the listeners who, you know, listen to the Caribbean radio station, radio show, and then support it, you know, and have good things to say about it. Because, right, you know, it's doing such a lot of good things throughout the world right now, you know. It's just like, you know, music will educate the human race. The Caribbean radio show is doing the same familiarity of, you know, getting the human race educated. Because, you know, under them circumstances, you have a lot of people outside here now in this world, you know, in America, so they would like to hear a lot of things, you know, that they can teach them a lesson, you know.
Mm.
Would like to hear a lot of things from some of the legendary people who can really, you know, pass on a message and inspiration to them. And then, you know, they don't have the way how to get in contact with those people. They don't have the way how to get a chance at the time to listen to those people. But God bless the Caribbean Radio Station and along with Sister Dr. Eve to make that be so. That's a lot of people can hear a lot of interviews, give a clean listening and can hear the voice of a lot of legendary people who do this interviewing and the message pass on, show the world to all of them. You know, God bless. It's great. It's such an improvement, you know. And I give my blessing for more improvement towards the radio station and the people who work along with the radio station. All the people, because every chain is a great master to the link, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you see all the people who work in coordination with the Caribbean Radio Show. God bless them, you know. And I can say, keep doing the good work. You know, because them say, if you want good, you don't know what to run, you know. So that's how it goes, you know.
Well, somebody has their open a link.
Hello?
Yeah, I was saying somebody open a link. All right, we got it now. Oh, I think we got it. Thank you so much, Bronco. Thank you so much, a living legend. I mean, we honor you, my palms together, for all the great work and the foundation that you have set, the legacy that you have left with us, or continues to still improve on it. We adore you, and I know that somewhere somebody would want to clear if the legend Bronco Knowledge. That's what we want to leave you. You come here and you don't do something that somebody pick up where you're not. You've not completed this course where you climb. That's what we're talking about. That's what I'm trying to do my best to help to preserve. A lot of times I am harsh. I'm one of those people. When I fell down, my mother never kissed my boo-boo. She says, where you have your two big eyes need to do to look where you're going? Next time, pay attention. That's how I grew up. So I'm not going to be one of those diplomatic people who say things. I always believe that diplomats are liars. We have to say things one time and make people understand what it is. A lot of people don't like to hear the truth. I want to hear the truth enveloped in something else. I just go straight to the point because my brain, and I'm not that too knowledgeable or intellectual or smart, whatever those words want to be. But we need to have people who come straightforward and just, we need a kick in the butt to get out and do things. We have to take a look at what is happening around the world. We are the only people who are kind of, not only, I'm talking about me, where my knowledge base is. Somebody can correct me. But where my knowledge base is that we're the only people who are integrating so much that we are integrating ourselves out of everything. Everything. And I think that we have to take a stock and look around the world and understand we have a commodity. The greatest of the commodity is the resolve in our people. We need to invest into our education. We have the most beautiful people by per capita, the amount of Miss World and Miss whatever we got, if that is anything. We have the fastest and greatest runners. We have the greatest orators. We have the greatest everything that you can think. We're represented in Jamaica, everywhere. So there's something special either about that little piece of land or the bloodline of those people. But we need to do something else that would make us even stronger. We need to start communicating together. We need to start getting together, ourselves together.
Yes.
And once we do that, oh my goodness, if we can do what we're doing and we're setting the trend of what we're doing without this other bond, can you imagine when that force get together? Maybe this is why it is so difficult, because maybe we would take over everything. You know, and that's not a bad idea, because we're capable people. We're capable people.
Yes. So, that's the only way after. We have to, you know, that's the only way the industry will survive, you know. For control of industry and commerce.
Listen to me, man.
Talk about that slavery.
Exactly. You know, somebody said, I don't know, my brain is not remembering. Once upon a time, I'm not sure if I ate one first. I can't remember who was talking about this, but whoever, please be credited. Somebody says, once upon a time we were fighting for freedom, but now we're fighting to get rid of ourselves out of slavery. But now we're paying to get into slavery. Can you imagine that? And that's been mowing over in my head, because that's exactly what we're doing, paying ourselves into slavery. Come on, folks. Come on. We are for different people. We are for different thread. We need to do something better than this to combat this. We have a generation that is growing up in our country that don't know how to share. We think about the bullets and the guns and the horrific things that our children are going through now. Once upon a time, we went to school barefooted, but our parents were born, I break rock stone, but there's no way that you should come and do the same thing that I do. Even if you walk barefoot and you have one shoe, you had ambition. We can do a lot of things with unity. We need to really step back and look at our...
The power of everything. Once you have unity, everything is good. And the opportune time is now, because the music is so advanced in that once our people unite, you know, trust me, we can get all of our industry and earn from it. As I was listening to Mr. Derricker last night again, and it make a lot of points. There's a lot of institution in Jamaica that is changing the way people earn from the music and the legend. You know? So these young artists, aspiring artists, and coming artists, they need some more focus on the
Mr. Barry Biggs says, we should have a Barry Big Circle. We should have a Bronco Knowledge Avenue. We should have all these great producers too. A Mightyful 13 producer circle right in Trench in Dynasty. You know, I mean, but if we start now. If we start now, this is incentive.
And you're right, and they are right, you know. That is how we can maintain the essence of our industry, why the name, because the name of people lives in the mind, of, you know. But then it's the money will rule. You're right, Bob Marley Boulevard, whatever, you know. Even water out, as I said, the Bronco now, change them first street and put the name of the people and who make a community that will even help the people and mine.
Yes, Keep the history calling. Keep
yeah,
the history.
Keep
some little girls who was Branko Knowledge? Hey, that great guitarist, great musician who always has sing about children. Who was the talk
yeah,
about?
Yeah, murals now with a bridge in them, you know. Yeah, man.
Boy, I'm telling you,
the government I use to the government right now. I use even dancehall music there for sure. For the government, so don't have a clash. The sound clash.
Oh, here,
so
there.
This is how potent our music is in the government of Jamaica right now. They have them look at thing and the sound. They might use it in their own way. Use the, our culture in a them own way now. And we with Bob Marley bring the music, the politics together for sure. Themselves unite. Until they don't try to kill the people. So the music is a thing that the business has to be protected.
That's why I said to the doctor, you said, sit right. As I said to even Sister Dr. Eve, that, are you hearing me?
Yes, sir. Yes, yes.
I was mentioned to that, I'm sorry, the government or the, you know, who is the leading people of the country then, leaders of the country, such as the government. They don't make even the music be their first prerogative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, they will make it become them prerogative when they want it to use in film favor. You know, it becomes them prerogative, but once it not benefit them anything, it's not their prerogative, you know what I mean? Yeah, if you try to tell them, also, who could have believed that the government, you know, did a certain achievement to gain certain thing and then, and a certain embracement, you're going to use two songs. You know, into a sound clash thing to achieve your form of recognition or your or what you want to do. You know, who could have believed that? You know what I mean? Was it just for that purpose there? If it wasn't just for that purpose for supporting for them gain, it wouldn't even mention. You understand?
Well,
hello?
Yeah, yes sir.
Come on.
You see?
Wow.
The government know the potential of the earning of the music, you know. The government know the potential earning of the music.
They know.
The government know the potential earning of the music.
They know.
You know what I'm saying? It's them the laws and the governance of the business of the music. They are the ones who are govern it too. And then we run the copyright office, the intellectual property rights. I have the Jamaica Intellectual Property Rights Organization, you know. You know, and then they really keep him a workshop on them to never try educating for the artist and the art, you know, it come back to unity again. Most man wants him to start making money and him start wear good shoes, like, and forget about the business.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. Because he can't champion the song, get a little fight to fight out the USA work and know the whole purpose of the business.
But again, look at how much are these mega artists, look how much money Jamaica is losing. Again, we have to understand, we talk about our artists' behavior and professionalism and some of them through their culture and what they can say and what they cannot say. We have to teach somebody what the reason why Barry Gordon was such a great businessman, producer and everything, he had a formula for every single thing. Now, everything, even down to somebody teaching these men how to tie their lace, how to dress. We talk about, we did hear that with Derek last night, how these guys usually dress, and even just coming on stage was a part of the act because everybody always looks shine, and the audience just love that. We
of
have
course.
Been going on stage now with them ass out the door and don't care about presenting themselves.
All right,
and we get to love it too.
I'm glad I make mention of that. That's why I said the BET Award that Shabba did. That Shabba refused. Shabba was trying to explain to them, say, it's not just about the music. It's about the platform to present ourselves, our attirement,
mm-hmm.
just like how Mariah Carey or anybody else can present their attirement. Because mm-hmm. our music, we must can show what our music can do. Our music can buy a house, it can buy a car, it can buy land, it can buy all the things that every other music can do. So if you're going to give us a platform, you have to give us it right to present it, that when it's done, it can attract millions of more dollars. People can invest, can come in it, because this is where we our music needs to attract. No, we know. I want the big record company and back out. We do have the Virgin Records or an Epic Records or a Columbia Records or who are signed nobody again. And everybody go against VP, but all know we don't. So nobody come and say yes. Yeah, the record we talk about Zodiac, which is a very good company. At the same time, them still have some discrepancies because I did get a contract with them, which I never accept because they are clouding it. I never expose it openly, you know, because I know what me want. So everybody has in law they have clause, you know. In law they are clause.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that, you know, sometimes the clause them come up on you is when your thing is being exploited.
Absolutely.
You know?
And that time is too late.
There are things that you have to be careful on, you know.
We want to get an organization.
It's a concerted effort, you know. And we still need people in those, if you know, it's not just for come sing and DJ. We need people for us for the love, the music. Take in consideration that a lot of ways and being of artists and musicians, we need to institutionalize that. Because sometimes a man ways need to come in law to make him earn. Sometimes OST never sell out yourself. So if a man never advocates, you know, to put them in law, you know, for you earning, you know. Publishing, you know, you hear what I read, sir. Sometimes publishing is that some man take you out of publishing. Are when in front of your eye.
Because they know that's where the money is and they know possibly.
So that's a blanco.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, man, so that's, yo.
Well, if I didn't know shit up going on in the craft, you know? It's just like... A man's a fool is so as you don't know.
Yes.
And you don't have no full understanding about or publishing thing accumulator, how it come about, where your rights is concerned with the music. You know, a man just laugh and say, ha, 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 idiot that. And then, you just go and just eat out of your eye, and you don't know how to your eye might eat. And I'm not giving you no farmer inspiration, no farmer like an int to you for that. How your eye might eat out of, no. You know, I'm just want to take it out for himself like Mr. Walter. Still, I'm not created. He missed no foundation, right? Not even the branch right need, you understand. You see, nowhere near the roots right, but still, you know, I'm a feed out right. You see, it's like that, man, it's happened many times like that. You know? It's happened many times like that. I've tried to see things happen like that.
Not right now to speak.
Oh yeah.
Right now to speak. It happened because, you know, you have enough money still listening, but not listen to, you know. Then that's how we run on the same.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to talk about, you have been neglecting, you know, until, you know, things happen, you know. Come on, you don't know where you stay. Boy, I'm not want to eat no food. No. You have to take yourself. But, you know,
well, we don't want you to eat food. Eh? We don't want to just go eat no food. No. We want to dine. We want to dine.
But that's correct. The food, the same food that you eat to save your life, it'll take it, it'll make you lose it the same, you know. Because you'll end up you end up in a prison of starvation, you know, you work so hard, but you're foolish. I look down at food. How see these things happen, you know? Yeah, man. Even Ducky, your Ducky talk the other day, and sign at him right, it's true. Because Ducky and I knew that you to stop with school from the maturity in your world. You know? Then it's academical. And when even Black Crow thing, Farmer and Chris Black Crow, them come. Chris Black Crow was a group of them on salary, you know.
Oh.
Like them get money every week and them thing there, you know. But you them kind of man no accountant and nobody say I keep no record of the money them are get and a little money where them get to take care of this. So there was no record, but most of those guys keep those records. I know, so when it accumulates thousands of US dollars, some man or some even Ireland record or whatever. So sometimes a whole heap of things happen where a man signed to have some things.
Wow.
The same word again. You know, you just sign it. So up to now, up to even today, a man who knows him have a name, but he not own it. It's owned by so many people.
Absolutely. That's another big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I'm telling you guys.
When you have ascertain these things, you know, that's why, as I said, that is either you put it in liquidation or your family them, or you sign some will, or you register it properly, you know. But at the end of the day, at least you know that there's someone to benefit from it.
Absolutely.
You know? And when a man deceives, you know, it just go back to government or go in a, you know, in a state,
a lot of Jamaican, because of the culture, they're thinking, well, I mean, I no will to nobody. And I mean, that is such a disadvantage to your children, your 50,000 children you leave out there. Somebody else.
The arrogance, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are slave, man. These things are part of slave mentality, you know. Because remember, When Rastas are repatriation, you know, my uncle and I have been the Rasta, you know. One thing me and my uncle tell them, so when me left my yard at Jamaica and go to Africa, me have a paper to show them who own the land.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, my uncle's a man who was a bright man, and he never go to school about the man who questioned himself. Because you can't leave from somewhere. There's nowhere geographically you can't leave without a document. And go claim ownership. These are squatters.
Of course.
And I forgot the governmental principle and thing. And enough Rasta man running from Jamaica and still have to come back and end up nowhere, homeless. Because you can't go up on land. Them call us, now in Jamaica, they call all people squatters.
Absolutely.
So a whole lot of struggle we go through as people. So when you do things, you have to be careful. You have to make sure documented, you have received, you have proper the document. You have a car, make sure you have the title feed. You have a house, you have the title feed. Just like your music. You have a song, you have a title feed. You know? Whichever society you register to, whether the PRS or the performing, the Library of Congress or, you know, wherever. BMI or AFSCAP or whichever, whether they're a pirate or not. But you have to, because again, them have the tribunals, you know, them have the data, you know. Them have the databases. If you don't join with them, there's no one can get in that database and even know how your record fields go or, you understand? Because they put them system away, you know, it's systematically designed, you know.
Not to include you if you don't have proper password, no. So to God. You don't have the...
That is why the reggae run robin is such an important force, you know. I don't know why in the industry they can't see that.
They can monetize, and this is
what they don't want. Independent majors people don't want to see a reggae run robin rise to an individual song seller 100,000 units and can get a count. They don't want that. Because they still manipulate the sales system. The sound scan has been manipulated, the iTunes, all these. Because which independent record they want to sell. If a man can sell 100,000 units on his own, that is an embarrassment to the majors, you know.
Well, it's the same fight they were having when people decided to take with Sony and all of those companies when they were trying to get away from them, when they realized, hey, we're being tricked here. And when these people start to get their consciousness, then these guys took out every single gun because they realize they don't have anything to pimp anymore. And that's what this is all about. If we get reggae round robin going where people can really look at their accounting, simple accounting, one go in, one come out. One person buy a dollar. That's what comes out, and you see it, and you can check it. $50,000, blah, blah, blah. Then somebody's going to say, wow, these people are getting away with murder. What are they going to do with all of that money? Nobody says what they are going to do with all of your money. You see?
No. So then set up all type of laws, anti-terrorist law, where if you have X amount of money, you have to give account where you get it from and what you're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? To be a millionaire nowadays, it is more dangerous, you know, than even to be poor, you know.
Hey, you're being watched.
Of course. And once you have certain amount of money, you have to link with charities, foundation for sure, so you're not supporting organized crime or you're not supporting money laundering or, you know, money racketeering or smugglings or, you know, so not an easy task, and the music has been screened. The music is not like one time before, you know, because
that's
with
true.
Even what I went to Butcher Banton, and a lot of, you know, Slipper Mafias have these guys who is prominent in the music but get catched with drugs and all these things, and, you know, other artists. The IRS even come into the business right now, you know. Where to even keep a tour or a show, you have to be unsure where that money come from, promoter, to validate them tax ID number, a lot of things, you know.
And
even sometimes why the touring is so hard for a lot of artists to come here to tour.
I just see they revoke Sizzler's visa to come to the state too, this week or last week.
No visa. You know, the Sizzler got the visa, and so I think him got a U-1 visa where him can suppose once him come perform off a leave the country, but I think he's banned. He's actually banned from the U.S.
Oh, is he?
Yes, I think that is what affects his life.
Yeah,
I go to the same
experience. Like, you know, I read something.
I'm
and
getting
then,
visa, you know. You got the visa, you know, but Sizzler is banned from the USA.
Well, I mean, Bronco, you were saying something. Go ahead.
Yeah, like, I did hear news, like, Beyonce must be her boyfriend and maybe husband. I want to try find some way of him to release the pressure of the band when he gets, you know.
Uh-huh.
United States of America, but like the decision still remain.
Yeah.
It don't change because you have the circumstance of him trying to make a process to release that band, you know, from Sizzler, from go to America. You know, it didn't go through, you know what I mean? So unfortunately it becomes a failure. Just like a Fitzroy, I say to you, you know, I read the same thing. Information, you know what I mean? You see? And then I see other people, and I see on the internet, like, I said, then the homosexual organization in Jamaica, and they was happy when they get to understand that Sizzler visa revoked by the immigration of America and thing like that. They was happy and joyful and laughing, so. You know, there's a lot of corruption inside this thing, you know. You know, I hope for corruption inside the thing. And again, to sometime again, you know. Sometime you have to...
You know, come in America.
You know what I mean? Sometimes you cannot fight a war against a system. But sometimes you have to know to fight the war against the system.
That is true.
You know, sometimes you can point your finger at the system and then, you know, you can get a chance to go around the system. Sometimes you point the finger at the system and then, and next thing you point the finger, it becomes bad for you, you know, in your favor. You know what I mean? While again, if you use diplomacy, be very diplomat, you know, in pointing your finger, but don't, you know, use it diplomatical, you know, so it's like cleverness. Then, you know, you can't, maybe you won't get that attention and that fight and the circumstances, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that you may be wrong about your idea where you have a beating against the system.
Right.
You know, but sometimes you have to know how to approach beating against the system that can bring you down to the same way, you know.
And certain things we don't have to touch, you know. Certain things, I mean, is none of our business. Our personal things, sometimes we have to know when we're writing music, who we're writing the music for, and how this thing will affect us. A lot of times we get this attitude that we are, you know, untouchables, that kind of a thing, and you have a freedom. I don't, you know, people use this. Freedom is not free. You don't really have no freedom of
freedom of speech is not to be irresponsible and speak loosely, because it's just like, oh, as Rasta used to advocate for their religious rights and our profess rights of Rastafari. It's the same way some people now come up and say they want their own rights. So sometimes you have to just leave them alone and focus on your thing. You know?
Absolutely.
Because Bob Marley and a lot of artists, Blanco, them fight the same struggle for every man to fight, but yet still them not caught up. I don't know how to put them lyrics together where, you know, even a man where no imitator can't even say, yeah, me, yeah, attack.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the intelligence are coming up, and the diplomacy, you know. You understand? But right now, them farm law name, defamation of character. You can go sing a tune and call a man name, and that man can sue you. He can stop your career. So you know, as an artist, you have to be responsible. You have to be constantly educate yourself of the laws and the governance of what's going on. I mean, it's not about just singing music and just sing loosely and anything like that. It can stop your future. And every man, as much as you're a man talk about Janice and that, every man who come in America come to her. Because it's the biggest single market in North America. You know, other from Africa, there's no market where nobody, you know, even the greater European artists, them always want to come to America and from the West Coast and, you know, tour America.
I think this is why we need to really have some education, artist development, for a lot of these young artists. I think that some of the artists think to the hype of the audience and don't realize, well, if I sing this, hey, then we like me, or, you know, they will think I'm this. And sometimes they don't even believe. It's just the audience hype them up. When you have artist development, for you to understand certain responsibility that you have holding a mic, and I think this should be, since Jamaica, the byproduct, one of the great byproduct out of Jamaica, the only product out of Jamaica, really stable product, is music. All of this should be taught in music, in school, from primary school, go right up to university. And I think this will take a lot. You have, all the aspects of entertainment. That should be a course just like English and math. Because a great majority of these people are going to be a part of the industry. Either you're going to be a producer, either you're going to be an artist yourself, either you're going to be a booking agent, do your own liquor party next door, or you're going to be a presenter, a disc jockey. A lot of career is out of the music in Jamaica, and there is no, I don't think that there is a central organ. Of course, we have the School of Music, but that is a little bit too late to introduce a lot of the things. If we start early, introduce this as a career and as a subject throughout from primary school to university level, I think we'll have a much better understanding of this complex. This is a very complex industry. And the fact that we have all of this digital age and the industry is changing so much, it is so dynamic. You need to have somebody who are able to really keep on top of things. We never have the film thing where musicians were getting their music into film. Especially a lot of Jamaican. We never have the advertisement thing. We never have no YouTube where you have different laws. We didn't have these copyright things to deal with earlier on. Now this is becoming more and more complex. There are a lot of things that artists could be claiming, but they don't know they can claim it. There are a lot of situations that can be litigated, but artists don't know these things, and it's oftentimes too late when they find out that everything that they have is taken away from them, and there's nothing you can do about it, because you know what, you signed a paper and you gave it away. Gentlemen, it is a wonderful chatting to you again. Usually this is just awesome. I hope our up-and-coming artists and even our legendary artists do get a chance to listen to this show and really find something that can really help them and open their eyes. Too often some of them are saying, you know what, let bygones be bygones. I don't know who wants to let $10 million just be bygones when you don't have food in your plate. We need to make the system less complicated. We need to have a centralized system where people can go and get at least have their question answered. We need to introduce this to the school from as early as it possible can, the whole entire business. We need to get to the Norman Manley Law School and say, hey, guys, there's a lot of money out there for Jamaican music. There's a lot of money to be made in entertainment law. Some of you bright guys, consider this as your career path. Entertainment law. We need to get a lot of this. Somebody needs to call the law school. I'm going to try my best. There's somebody else out there. More voices that we get together, we'll be able to get that. If we just get the Norman Manley Law School to really and truly look into getting this program, getting their bright minds to start looking at entertainment law as a specialty for a Jamaican, I mean, a lot of things are going to change. And these lawyers are going to be rich quick. You don't have to sit down and go into criminal law and wait for somebody to do something. You're going to be getting a hell of a lot of money quick, because there's many musicians out there. There are so many aspects of this thing, and if we have good lawyer behind us, then you will have good counseling, and these people won't make this egregious mistake that they're making every single day. You have legendary artists today cannot send a radio DJ their music. I just get 10 music from an artist, track 1, track 2, track 3, track 4. You know, I was just saying, this is pitiful. How are you going to have your music and you don't have your name headlining your track? And what do I say to a track 1, track 2? Hey, folks, as I always say, hey, folks, I mean, we have a track 1 music. I don't know who this artist is. I don't know the title of the song. So see if you can guess along with me. It just, and I'm talking about legendary.
The artist must master the product, because once the artist master a song and then put in a CD, if you know this right now nowadays, Doc, if you're driving a car and the music is playing,
you hear the
you see the name of the song, the name of the artist, and the type. Because it is that these are things that digitize in the CD, and some the artists and the producer, they must make sure they master their songs properly, that, and not give it no problem like that.
Absolutely. And you have an artist who's going to say to me, boy, what make you want your thing so? A long time you send this thing out like this and nobody never behaved like this. And I'm saying, if I'm trying to help you to improve on what you're doing, you're going to have a problem with that? That is absurd. People are not willing to listen and learn. And I'm going to say to you, have you been listening to all of the DJs you're sending your song to make sure that they're playing it and they are representing your music properly? How can you even argue if I am going to try and help you to do what you're supposed to be doing anyway? Somebody said I just got a marketing representation agency. I had a lawyer on here, entertainment lawyer, and I'm saying, why should I pay for entertainment lawyer for these folks? And it don't seem like they want to pay attention to what you're saying at all. I mean, some people believe that only. How many artists?
Mr. You talk about entertainment lawyers. There was a program in Jamaica named the Musical Speaking, Mr. Lyon, that entertainment lawyer in Jamaica. I even have some cassettes recorded in Jamaica that they used to speak about music and the laws and IRFM. And I can tell you, if Jamaican art people, musician and industry, they even take heed to those things, the industry wouldn't be in this state than it is, you know. So you're right. You have to go to get some lawyers, you know, not the studying criminal law in like it's be a criminal in Jamaica.
Absolutely.
You need to study the business of music law. So some lawyer can, you know, cause a lot of time a lawyer need music people, we need a lawyer can give us some contingent agreement. Can everybody has all the money, you know. But a lawyer can see where you have your rights and know that if him defend him can win. And
absolutely.
Make thousands of dollars from it.
Absolutely.
A lot of, you know, artists is that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we need lawyers, for real, to represent
yeah.
the industry.
And then everything will have an even pay field. We'll have an even pay field. And that's what we're looking forward to. Hey, I want to say big love to the King Mohican, the big teleview just into the house. What is, big up yourself, King. I know you won't get a chance to chat to the legendary Bronco Knowledge because we're off on the other side of the platform. But the conversation is really, 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 really one that we need to have more often. Is one that we need to get all of the players, them line up and everybody start to be singing the same chorus. We need to get a band. We need to get a choir, the massive choir that start to singing the same thing. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to really, really have to find some other place to go and stop sucking some of these musicians. Musicians would be able to provide better for their family. This is a business. This is not people who go into this music never go into this for by the way kind of a thing. They go into this to be a star, no matter what they tell you. They're going to be a star and to make money and to can support their family. And they need to really back up and do this on a professional level. They need to get professional to advertise, to help them. You, as a musician, you can be a booking agent. You can be your promotion agent. You can be your producer agent. You can be your managing agent. You have to leave those to people who are professional and know exactly what you're doing. You have to, the only thing you have to do is to learn to choose them properly, because you can choose to your detriment as well. But you as a musician have to be having the space to be to do the creative thing, and that is to make and write music and play music. You can do all of them at the same time. A lot of you think that you can do it at the same time. And listen, a lot of people who are in this business as a musician don't understand one thing. I hear artists say, boy, me can't pay somebody 20% to manage me and pay a booking agent 15% to do a booking for me. And you know, I just want to, I really don't understand that. And because what are they doing? I am the artist. I am going out there. Do you know how it is to manage?
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.